Toxic. Relationships of all kinds can be toxic. Love, home, church, marriage, office, yourself. Even you can even have a toxic relationship with yourself. So let's talk about it on this evening, Tuesday, November 1st, 2022. I'm Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. We'll be discussing toxic relationships. So you can always listen to past episodes on relationships on demand under blogtalkradio.com under Let's Do It Radio. They've been quite riveting and eye-opening and, of course, a lot of discovery. So please join us tonight and let's talk about it. Toxicity in the relationships. Let's get ready, all y'all, worldwide listeners. I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Elko Designs. So please, please, please call in to 845-241-9985 and let's talk. I can't wait to see what the people say about this subject. Toxic people do not show their negative side early in the relationship. I think we've gone over that already before in other conversations. They are often extremely charismatic and seem to be the ideal or perfect partner. Then, over time, they start to show their true colors and become controlling, demanding, and emotionally abusive to their partners. According to www.verywellmind.com, a toxic relationship is one that makes you feel unsupported, misunderstood, demeaned, or attacked. On a basic level, any relationship that makes you feel worse rather than better can become toxic over time. So, toxic relationships can exist in just about any context, from the playground to the bedroom to the boardroom. You may even deal with toxic relationships among your family members, as I said before. A relationship is toxic when your well-being is threatened in some way, emotionally, physiologically, and even physically. So who do we have out there who's joined us today? Okay, I see we got Reverend Ron out there. I'm sure that our buddy Joe will be calling in, and his friend Rick, otherwise known as Solutions, will be joining us as well out there. And then we have my ride and die girl from Maryland. Yo, 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 yo. Rhonda, hello, 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 and welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing?
All right, all right. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I know our regulars will be joining us, Key and Eddie and whoever else wants to be out there. There we go. There's my girl, Key, just joined in. Hello, Miss Key. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Key. How's it going?
Oh, Reverend Ron made it back. The Lord has blessed
you. Yay!
How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?
She's fine.
Her voice.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope so.
Oh, I thought you called his name.
I did. I said, you know, our regulars will be on, you know, Rich. I guess his name is. Our Solutions and Joe is probably calling in about 3 or 4 minutes, as he calls in about a quarter after the hour. So, but yes. But tonight, Key, we're talking about toxic relationships. That's what we are talking about this evening. Yes, indeedy, we are. Let me get up here and let's really talk about it and delve into it. And so we're not going to wait for nobody because they're going to just miss out. So, who was I going to say? So, some signs of a toxic relationship. Anybody tell me what you feel a sign of a toxic relationship is? Let's start with Key, ladies first.
Obsessively jealous. Insecurity. Not being yourself with the person. Aggression. More arguing than communicating. I mean, conversing,
okay.
I guess I should say. Just some of the ones I can relate to that I can call off the top of my head.
Okay. Those are some of the good ones. Reverend Ron, what about you? What are some signs that you feel are from a toxic relationship or about a toxic relationship?
Well, selfishness.
And Ron, you can type too.
Selfishness.
Okay.
Uncooperative. Non-communicated person in a relationship. And of course, cheating.
Okay. Cheating. Okay.
Cheating in
okay.
more ways than one, not just with an outside affair, but cheating
uh-huh.
within the relationship as well.
Okay. I'll go for that. And according to verywellmind.com.
Before you say that, I could see where the cheating would fall in because I know it usually doesn't come with any accountability. And
right.
blame gets shifted a lot in those situations.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. Child, this is our show. We could talk candidly. So the toxic relationship, I was saying, is one that makes you feel unsupported, misunderstood, demeaned, or attacked.
Mm-hmm.
On a basic level, mm-hmm. any relationship that makes you feel worse than better can become toxic over time. So we could have, they can exist in just about any context, from the playground, as I said, to the boardroom, to the bedroom. So some signs are, if the bad outweighs the good in a relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this so many times. But if someone consistently threatens your well-being by what they're saying, doing, or not doing, it is likely a toxic relationship. Because it's mm-hmm. like, okay, this is not going the best way because there's no love there. There's nothing there to hold on to, you know, except for your dear life. So signs of a toxic relationship may take months or even years to evolve. Oof. Typical signs of these damaging relationships include isolation. The toxic person attempts to isolate the person from family. Ooh, goodness. Family and friends to limit support and to increase dependence on the relationship. Ongoing disagreements. Is that not correct? It is common for people dating and in relationships to have minor disagreements, but toxic relationships are primarily based on arguments and negativity. The controlling mm-hmm. partner, of course, is always berating, belittling, and putting down the other person or criticizing their attempts to do anything positive or be independent. Have any of you ever encountered those?
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Ron, he's a sweetheart, so, you know, I don't think he encounters anything negative. I don't think he encounters anything. don't be falling out on me.
No, I can answer that. I can answer that.
Okay.
I once knew a person who was in a toxic relationship.
Okay.
And the toxic was the individual was in a discrepancy with his own conscience.
Mm. Okay.
He was in a discrepancy with his own conscience. You see, the conscience is analytical, and the conscience is analytical, right? And it analyzes and record the experiences we've had in our lives from a child to where we are. So the enemy can come in and he can imprisonate an individual right within their own mind. And he imprisonates them and limited them with limitations. And he brings the experience back up, the bad experience. So the individual go on with a formality of what they understand about life and its demands and its necessities. They go on with a mm-hmm. formality of carrying out that piece. But in their minds, they still hung up with the bad experience that they had.
Mm.
So right there create the toxic because they're not really giving 100% of their efforts to the relationship. They may be given 30 and fighting within themselves 70. Well, if they just give them 30 and the other person in the relationship that they are with, they're going to soon holler neglect. They're going to soon complain about the person being in a total fight, which takes up his time,
mm-hmm.
which causes him not to be able to think 100% and give 100% because he's still hung up on the relationship or on the bad experience. So it caused everything he do to be half, never 100%.
Mm, okay.
Well, in the fight of the bad experience, the imprisonation of his mind might have him in a mindset which can cause mood swings. Because the biggest of his attention mentally is on the bad experience. So when the person they're with
come and try to get, you know, cuddle and consolement from the person, he can't give it because he's mad. He feels like he's lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
mm-hmm.
feels like he's lost. He feels like he wastes time. He feels like he in other words, he starts thinking, I could have been farther along because the picture, pictorially, in his mind is being played over and over again. So now all he can offer, he can't offer true feelings of love. He has to pretend. He has to say it's all right when it's not really, it's not all right. So then if he doesn't get past that mindset, then he really becomes toxic to the relationship with the person he's with. But the person he's with is not done anything wrong, but being mm-hmm. neglected simply because the individual is hung up within his own conscience. I'll stop right there for now, but I'll come back to another piece.
Okay. Has anybody ever felt isolated, you know, in a relationship where there's just like, well, dang, you just keeping me from everybody?
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Because I know some people that's happened to where they just say, no, you can't see your family. No, 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 no. It's like, why not? Why can't I see my family? That's my family. Right. You know, that's a strong person. You know, some people who are in toxic relationships aren't strong people. You know, and as we talked about last week or whenever that was, you know, we talked about how hard it would be for a person who is not strong to leave a relationship because that's all they know. That's all they know. And Ms. Rhonda was saying that, let me see, that said, immoral person puts you in harm's way too. So if they're not right, they're just going to not make sure, but, you know, everything about them just, you know, there's nothing good about that person. So it's best to kind of depart ways from them and get away from them and not even deal with them because it's not a good thing, not a good thing, not a good thing at all, not at all, not at all. Okay, so let's see what else. Blaming. A toxic person has no sense of personal responsibility for negative things and events in a relationship. If your partner or the other person or whomever you're, you know, entangled with is willing to take full responsibility for all the good but none of the responsibility for anything bad or unpleasant, this is a critical sign of a toxic relationship. True? They're going to blame you for everything. I mean, you know, even at work, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, you know, it's not my responsibility to do this. Yeah, it is. If you're a team player, you should be, mm-hmm. you know, you get all the accolades, and then when everything goes wrong, you know, hightail it out of the place. It's like, okay, that's not the type of, you know, willing worker that I want to be working with, you know. They see and flee. They see and flee. So, you know, it's like, the blame game, as they say. The blame game. That might be a good one, too, to talk about, the blame game. What about you, Reverend Ron?
Well, in the book of Titus, to the pure, all things appear.
Uh-huh.
And to the defiled, all things are defiled.
Okay.
So if a person doesn't have clarity within their mental train of thinking, it's impossible.
Uh-huh.
It's impossible for them to share 100% of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, again, they hung up. Now, some people bring toxic into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never gotten over the pain of the last relationship.
Okay.
Some people run out of a bad relationship into a relationship looking for comfort but they can't get the comfort because they still taking the bad attributes of the last relationship with them.
Okay.
So they might get with a new person, but the toxicity is still in them because they've never gotten over the last pain. They never gave themselves time to heal. They never gave themselves time to get themselves together to feel good about themselves and be confident in who they are. But they go in there hurting and paining, looking for comfort and consolement in the new person, and the new person don't respond as they want them to respond, then they have a problem with the new person. So then the same bad habits begin to be imposed upon the new person, which create toxicity.
Okay. Our buddy Joe is with us. I had him on earlier, but Joe, you may have to call back in because of the echo. That's why I took you off. But it seems like, go ahead and say something, Mr. Joe from Montana.
Okay, the echo. Now I'm glad you explained that because I was going to get on you. First off, hello, Rev. Nice to have you back. And,
hey, Joe, what's up?
I'll tell you what's up. First off, Inez unmutes me. I don't have my hand up, you know. So she's violating the sacred rule of being there.
No.
And then she mutes me. Now I'm glad she explained that I had the echo. So the echo must have gone.
Yes, it did.
So I'm glad that echo
it
isn't.
Is
okay, good. Okay,
it is
good.
Gone. Thank you. And I was gonna bring you in and let you know that you were echoing, but then you must have either called back or did some moving around or something. So. That's what
no,
I did.
I know.
No,
you know what
I know
happened?
You...
I had you on. Yeah, I had you on speaker, which caused the echo. Yeah,
okay.
So I put myself off of speaker, and luckily the echo's gone. So how's everybody
yes,
tonight?
It is.
Oh,
good.
Very
so
well. How
we
you
have...
doing, Joe?
Not bad. You know what? I called in on Thursday, Inez, because I got you on speed dial, and you didn't have a show. So I figured
yes,
you're trying. Are you trying to get rid of me? Not a show on relationships.
You had a different show. We had a show on relationships with our mams, our mammograms, our chastities. We still had a relationship
mammogram relationship. Do you hear that, Reverend? She's trying to get rid of us in a very subtle way, at least me.
No. No. But Key is also on the line with us.
Hello, Key, our favorite representative of women who say that men are toxic. So this ought to be a good show for her.
I didn't say men are toxic. There are mutually toxic people, but hello. I just don't think women should bear the brunt of everything. So...
Clear on, clear out. See, there she goes. There she goes.
Now
women being the brunt of everything. I'm sorry, Miss Inez.
Be kind.
I'm sorry, did you say?
I said be kind.
I am kind.
Be kind.
B.
Uh-huh.
B, have I ever been unkind to you?
B is not here. She doesn't come on Tuesdays because she's usually late. She'll probably be here on a Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She runs late.
B, sister.
So,
have I ever been unkind to you?
Key. Key.
I said
Key
B's
sister.
B sister is Key.
You know what?
What?
Where's Mr. Toxic at? I mean, where's Mr. Solutions at?
I don't know. I have a show for him, though.
Oh, you
I
do?
I have a show for him to go to. Yeah, because I went to one show, and I have the same views that Solution has. So they wanted me to be a speaker. I said I didn't want to do
Lord.
It, but then I thought of, oh, Lord.
Go ahead.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I thought of Solution, so maybe he might want to go and be a speaker, but I don't know if he'd like to be the speaker, though. But in any case, how are you, Key?
I'm fine. I'm here. Unmuted this time.
She unmuted. She can speak today. Yeah, she can speak today.
How about that? Yes,
yes,
that's a good thing.
Today. Yeah, so funny. Yeah. But tonight we're talking about toxic relationships, Joe. That's what we're talking about. So that's why I was saying that solution would be a good one for this one. Cause
yeah. But the thing is, where have you been so far? I mean, in terms of tonight, have you, has anybody come? Oh, I heard the Reverend talk about how women and men bring into their present relationship, you know, the baggage from the last relationship, which is absolutely true.
Right.
So we have to, what we have to do as humans is if we like somebody, we have to let them know, or try to find a way to pierce that veil and let them trust us. But then again, if they, even if they do trust us, sometimes that's not enough. So that was, you know, that was a discussion of another show that I went on, and it was a good discussion.
Oh, really? So what is it? What was it called? What was it called? The show.
I forget the name of the show, but but what happened was that the hostess, it was about I remember part of the, it was about sexual molestation, and the hostess was sexually molested and how it creates you know, turmoil in a relationship. She was a victim of molestation, and she, so it was pretty good. That's only because, Inez, you know, you blocked me out. Somehow you must have told BTR, you know, Joe is not welcome on Thursdays.
That is not correct. It was women, and we were talking about breast cancer awareness. That's what we were talking about.
And I'm at Wednesday. I called you on speed dial.
No, Thursday. Thursday is what it was. Wednesday was Reverend Ron. You would have been on there for Bible study.
Oh, okay.
So so it was Thursday. It was Thursday.
All right, so that's enough for me. I yield the floor, as Eddie likes to say. And, you know, and if Key has anything
he's
to say.
He's not here
you know,
yet.
Eddie likes to say, but, you know, since... since Key is here, if she has anything to say, I don't want to hog up her time.
He spoke first, so you missed it. But it's okay. Maybe it's your turn to answer the questions anyway.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Key. You're a doll, Key.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so we were talking about... signs of toxic relationships may take months or even years to evolve. Typical signs of these damaging relationships include, and we talked about isolation. Have you ever been isolated in a relationship, Joe? I doubt it, not you.
No. I've never been in a toxic relationship that I couldn't handle. Like I said, my boundaries, I've developed them at a young age. I just believe in you've got to show me that you like me, that you respect me, show gratitude, and stuff like that. And when you don't, then if it's over a reasonable amount of time, then, you know, I just got to go, you got to go. So, no, I've never been a victim of that. But there are people that I know who have been because they have been entrapped by that other person's desire to entrap them. They want them to feel that. Yeah, right, Reverend? They want them to feel that they are the trustworthy ones. They are the sole points of their universe. And then when they start showing their butt, then the other person says, something must be wrong. It must be me, you know. But it doesn't mean necessarily that it is you. They just want you to feel pain.
It's
messed up. Yeah.
That's basically, that's true. That's true. That is so true. They want you to. And isolation was one of them. Then ongoing disagreements, arguments. It's common for people dating and in relationships to have minor disagreements, but toxic relationships are primarily based on arguments and negativity. The controlling partner is always berating, belittling, and putting down the other person or criticizing their attempts to do so, to do anything positive or independent. So it's like, no, you can't do it. You just have to stay, you know, stay over there in your corner, and you can't do anything because it ain't happening. So you just, you know, you're just going to be the whipping boy. That's all it's going to be. So that's what it is. That's what that is. So, I mean, how, okay, I'm going to ask this question. So talking about ongoing disagreements and arguments, how long has been y'all's longest, anybody's longest argument with the person? I'm going to start with Joe.
Good question. I mean, the long, oh, I had an argument for an hour on the phone with a potential girlfriend. And I, that was one time. Then I had another argument with her for about a half an hour. And but I took into consideration that I felt she was a little off. So I felt some sympathy with her. But then what happens is that when you disagree with people like that, they develop not only a barrier, but then they turn it around and they make it seem as though you're the one that's trying to make the trouble. So, and that could be the case, you know. I mean, people do that. You don't have to be seriously psychologically afflicted in order to do that, but then people have to know how to resolve conflict. And she didn't know how to, and I did, and I really didn't know how to as much as I do today. So we went our separate ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to answer your question directly, an hour on the phone with this chick and then a half an hour with the same chick, and that's about the only two instances that I can remember.
Okay. Okay. Reverend Ron?
Well,
you don't have arguments, I don't think. I think you have a life of unicorns and rainbows.
And butterflies.
And butterflies.
Well, you know, I noticed in the times that I have had disagreements, it was simply because of jealousy. Sometime when you have accomplished things and you are happy with where God have you in life, and you know who you are because you've developed a constitutional strength. So you're not pushed to and for by intelligence. But then a person you may be with have not accomplished anything in their life, may have been through nothing but bitter times, may not have had the enjoyment of cruise ships and vacations, and it's just been all bitter hard work and no accomplishments. Well, sometimes the enemy will make that person jealous of the person that they're in the relationship because they do have peace. Now, it can cause the person at peace not to want to give up on the other person, but it can cause them to kind of go into a stage of observation, which is right because Jesus tells us to observe all things. So some actions of people that we are in a relationship, close proximity, we have to observe them, their action, especially if we love them. Now, if their action tells us that there's been a lifetime of unfulfillment, then if we love that person, we begin to work on showing them love and taking them beyond where they have been. Beyond what they know, teaching them beyond what they know through love, not in a way that they, well, I'm going to stop right there, but I would like to speak back on that. But as I was saying, it's sometimes we have to be observant enough to know when people that are with us have not had a fulfillment in their life. So therefore, there is a void. There is a longing. There is a inner feeling of neglect because they haven't had an opportunity. So then we that love them and observe them,
We have to present an opportunity. You understand what I'm saying? Where they may tell you, say, I never did number work all my life. And I've been with bad guys and bad women, and it's just been a bad time. But then we that are observing, who love them, then while they are speaking, then usually God put things in our head to do, to give them an experience that they never had before.
Right,
you understand
right,
what I'm
right.
Mm-hmm. If they ain't never been on a trip, you're observing them. You've been on several trips. You know how to call the agency and get the tickets ready. Surprise them. Say, hey, listen, you know, simply because you heard them say that they never had a trip and you love them, then you say, well, hey, listen, I got some tickets for us to go here. And then being observant and then acting upon kindness, well, then you get them on a trip, let them have a good time. So then there's a sense of fulfillment that you start working on. Since they ain't never had fulfillment, and you observe it, because you can tell when people have never had a fulfillment in their life, because they always feel like they're being left out.
Right.
And that, too, can create toxicity if you're not cautious. So the longest I've been in anger with anybody, it was after observance. And then after I observed them, the anger left because I saw the need instead of being judgmental of their actions, especially if I love them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Key?
I would say about 10 minutes. Because I figure I have covered more ground being silent.
Love it.
I'll say about 10 minutes.
Okay. And I mean, I always said, you know, takes two people to argue. Unless you have multiple personalities, if another person is just not going to say anything and not argue with you, it's like, okay, you're not going to say anything? No need to argue. Seems like you have everything under control. That's what it looks like. You're the one in charge. You're the one who's taking over. You're the one who's, you know, making all the decisions, blah, 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 blah. So why do I need to argue? I'm just going to go right along with your plan and la, 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 la. You know, that's enough.
And there you
not
and
today,
let me
society.
Let me be the one that argues with you, Inez. You know, theoretically speaking, you say that to me, right? You say, "Well, you're the one in charge. You're the one who wants." And I say, "There you go again, being passive aggressive. I am trying to say to you about how I feel, how I think about the situation, and you're going la 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 la. You're in control. Well, isn't that nice, Inez? Nice of you to put that on me. Why don't you take some responsibility for what's going on here? Now what do you
I know. Now I know. I was just saying, but it takes two people to argue. It's so it's good if you have constructive argument. But if you're just going to be hollering and you know fussing and cussing and carrying on and throwing things, that's not a good argument. It's okay to disagree, agree to disagree. But when you just argue constantly 24/7, you know, every single day, that's not healthy. I mean, everybody needs
to
have arguments or debates or whatever you want to call it. But when you just argue just for the sake of arguing and, you know, he or she goes out and every night and has a drink and goes to the bar and then comes home and just be, you know, intoxicated because it's toxic, you know, that's not healthy. That's all I'm saying. It's like, you know, and so a lot of people will say that, okay, you're in charge, so why do I even need to say anything, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But if you have a good argument, that's totally different. You know, but if someone's just arguing just to hear themselves argue and the other person is being belittled and crouching in a corner and just not and cowering and not even saying anything, what kind of argument is that? You understand what
that's
I'm
not
saying? That's all I'm saying. Right.
That's not
right.
I'd like to present a prescription to how to end all arguments. just to make, you know, that's my suggestion for a show. How do you end the argument? If you end the argument, then you're going to find out one way or another. Are you in a good relationship or a bad relationship? But I'll tell you right now, there are people who will stay in a bad relationship because they don't, they may want to leave it, but they don't want to go outside of the relationship either and start all over again. So that's another problem.
That's true. And we talked about that.
We talked about that. Where people are just, you know, I won't say satisfied, but what's the word I'm thinking of? They're just they're okay with the situation. Tolerant, accepting of the situation because they have nowhere to go. They don't know where to go because, you know, you thought this was the love of your life, and all of a sudden everything goes to in a handbasket. You know, it's like, oh, this isn't the relationship. This isn't the marriage. This isn't the job. This isn't the church. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. And that can even happen with your children. You know, it can happen with anybody who's not you. So, I mean, a relationship is usually two people, or like I said, it could be within yourself. But, you know, if you're just, you know, satisfied and just tolerating a toxic relationship, that's not good. That's almost like abuse. It's just like being mentally, abused and just stressed. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Now, I'd like to talk about the solution to that, then, how to remedy something like that. When, you know, when you're finished with your list. Maybe later on tonight.
And we will. We'll talk. We can talk about, you know, how to recover, what do you do, and all that other wonderful stuff. And as Reverend Ron was talking about earlier, talking about jealousy, another sign is jealousy and dishonesty. Toxic relationship is often one of accusing a partner of flirting, dating, or even having a sexual relationship with someone outside of the relationship. At the same time, the controlling or toxic person may actively and openly engage in these same behaviors. So as Reverend Ron was talking about before, you know, jealousy, being jealous of, like you say, you know, having things that the other partner has never had before. So anybody, I'm sure all of y'all have probably encountered that, or somebody's encountered that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You want to go first? As you said earlier, you had.
Well, when you have had a life of fulfillment, then your attitude is different from a person that has never experienced anything as far as fulfillment in a relationship or in their individual lives.
Okay.
So you know when you're dealing with this piece, as Joe said, in observance, you must come up with a solution if you love the person or if you intend for the person to equally love you. You got to bring them out of the stupor or out of the imprisonment within their minds. And some people say, well, why come they can't make up their own mind? How come they wasn't instructed as I was? From home, here and there. Well, everybody is not fortunate enough to move on past trauma, neglect, or disdainment, or being belittled and debased. And some people are not quick to move on past that. They think that's really them. The criticism is really them. So when they are bound by words and imprisoned by words coming from out of a person's mouth, well, then they are always afraid because they don't know what the person going to say next to cause them to feel that unwanted or that unrespected feeling again. Now, you can respect my money, but you don't respect my presence. Well, when people feel like their presence is not respected, then they go into hermetism, I call it.
When they feel like they're present, hermetism. You know how a hermit does? Hermit goes out.
Oh,
a
hermit?
And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hermetism.
See,
oh, okay.
That's a new word, Reverend. Yeah, he be having some new words. I will stop him in the middle of something and say, bro, break it down, because I don't know what the heck he just said. I said that one night and everybody cracked it up, because I was like, bruh, come on now. Speak English to somebody who don't know what doggone word you just said. But I thought he was said, I thought he said being a hermit. But go ahead.
when a person present is not respected and they feel that, then you'll see a person cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You see a person go into a shell situation.
Right.
Within their actions and in their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you do in a toxic relationship to get the toxicity out of the relationship if you love the person? Now, if you don't
particularly
care,
counseling
helps, but I'm talking about when you leave the counselor, then the two people needs to know what to do to bring the other one up to par as well as you do when you go to the counselor. So through observing.
And that's right. Go ahead.
I yield right there. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
So if I can make something old new, and I have the skills and the wherewithal to do it, then there must be a willingness, and I must become test-taculant. I must become test-taculant. I must be ready to tackle the test of bringing the person I love up to where they need to be. Now, I can't look at them with a judgmental eye. I can't be heretically judgmental. But I got to be willing to, if I love the person, if I truly love the person, I want my life to be the rest with this person, then I got to be willing to bring them up. But I got to do it in a way where they don't feel offended by me because we are in a relationship. Because sometimes when people are hiding their true identity, then they quit to think that you're watching them or you're looking at them, judging them in some kind of way, or are you being critical in your own mind about them? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when they're guilty of stuff, too. Oh, man. If you watch people, sometimes they'll tell you everything about them. If you observe them, sometimes they'll tell you everything about them with their actions. So if people's actions inform you of them, then you know who they are. You're not surprised. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. Finish up, Rob, and then I'll jump in.
And they'll oftentimes even confess of things that they have done wrong within the relationship, and you don't have to argue with them to get it out of them. But you can just observe them. You can just observe them. Because if you observe them, sometimes they'll yell out, what you thinking? You think I was doing this? You think I've been out there? Well, no, I wasn't thinking nothing like that. You said you the one brought up you might have been out there. Are you thinking... I think you might have been out there playing around and all this kind of stuff. Well, if your actions speak through your voice, then no one's guilty but you, because you just said it out of your own mouth. I observed what you said. I didn't push you to the limit. Now, if you're guilty, you bring toxicity into the relationship because you're guilty already. So your conscience is fighting with you, and you fighting with your conscience. Because you got to come in, you got to come in out of a toxic situation, and you're going to bring your toxicity into a person at peace with you because you're guilty. So
So what does the person do that's at peace in the relationship? If he loves the person that's guilty, do he begin comeback with them? When you begin comeback with them, you're going to have an argument. You're going to have a fight. Mm-hmm. You're going to start them by lying. Oh, I wasn't doing it. Oh, I said something. And all this kind of thing. So now you got a fight involved. Well, fighting, it raises the bar of toxicity. So you don't want to fight with the person. But you got to, if you love a person, you got to be willing to be patient. Tolerance, as Joe said, and you said, I guess. You got to be tolerant. Now, mm-hmm. are you in it for the long haul? Or are you that person that's temporal? And you're saying, okay, if you don't get it together now, I'm not going to go. What's wrong with you? If you don't get it together, well, that's not true love.
Right.
Okay? That's what they call a quick fix.
Fake love.
Fake love.
Like fake news.
Fake love. Fake love. Fake news.
Okay.
Fake love.
It's not true.
It's not
love.
Genuine.
It's not genuine.
No, it's not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you love someone, if you really, really love someone, then you're willing to bring your expertise into that relationship to bring them up.
Okay.
I yield right there for now.
I yield right there for now. Okay. So
I know it's Keith's turn. I don't want to take up too much of time. This will only be a few seconds.
Why is it Keith's turn?
Because it's Reverend Ron, that it's either Key or it's me. We only have three of us on the line, but besides yourself. So just I wanted to suggest. And so you're trying to start a fight, aren't you, Ines?
Not I. Not ever. No.
No. See? I'd like to suggest to you. Oh, yeah. Right. Hush, Joe. Haven't you said that to me in the past? Hush, Joe. Those are fighting words.
I can fight
right.
if I want to.
Oh, yeah, I know you can. Yeah. Well, here's what I'd like to say. If not tonight, if we don't have time, because we're always talking about our particular solutions to these particular problems, which you bring up, I'd like to do some role-playing and show. Okay, never mind.
Go ahead.
It was a bad idea,
I'm messing with you, Joe. I'm messing with you. No, I'm messing with you. Go ahead. One day I'm gonna let you be in charge of the show.
He says a better.
okay,
no.
That's an idea.
One,
wow, okay.
One day I'm going to let him be in charge of the show and have him be the host or the one in charge.
I've done that. I've been the host and co-host of relationship shows more than a few times, my dear. So don't threaten me with a good time, okay? All right.
But listen,
but
not mine.
Uh-huh.
The only one that you had was when you talked Joe versus Joe on the political thing, but not a relationship thing. So now.
I know. I didn't say on your show. I said, on other shows. But role-playing is a good thing because then we can, we can show what we could do and then we can get critiqued by the other panelists to find out what we can do better. So I just wanted to say that. That's all. God, tonight? She's making a big deal out of everything.
I'm not being argumentative. Not me. Mm-mm.
I know.
Not this girl.
Go ahead.
I know.
Oh my God. I've had my experience with the toxic drama. Like I had mentioned some shows like earlier in the beginning when I first started this, I was married for 18 years to, like, the serial cheater. That came with all kind of, like, drama and stress. And when I got married, I thought it was going to be for a long time. I mean, we started out as friends. That went all fine. it's just like things in relationship changed extreme after the marriage, and it just got to the point where I got tired of trying. I got tired of being patient and tolerant and waiting for the better to come that never came. It only just got worse. So eventually I just had to break away with it. And then I took the time for myself to, you know, just process and heal and, you know, make better paths and options available for myself. So, I mean, I think you can genuinely love a person and try to wait it out. It's just not feasible. It's just not worth the peace and sanity. And I just got to the point I didn't want to do it anymore.
Because a lot of times you become numb. You know, you don't want to do anything because it's like you just become numb. You just become numb. And it's just like, why am I don't even enjoy this anymore. Why am I even here? I have more time enjoying myself by myself than with this person who I'm supposed to be in love with me. And it's just not working. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just like the lack of reciprocity, and you just get drained. You just get worn down. And like I mentioned before, it was the point in my life where, like, I was always under the belief and lived my life up to that point that nothing the person did would make me not be who I was. And I noticed drastic changes in myself that were not for the better. And I was like, the toxicity was starting to rub off. And I was like, I can't live like this. I refuse to live like that. But I did give it some time. You know, they say you just do it until you can't. And that's what I did. 18 years, too long.
That's crazy.
That's what I was about to say. That is one patient experience. 18 years? Good.
So
wow.
So when did it become toxic? When did it, like, day two after you got married or what?
No, it wasn't that early. It was, like, little subtle things. And I was like, well, the cheating wasn't obvious at first. But I did notice, like, changes in like behavior and like the like wanting to always have something to do, and I mean not being a husband and doing husbandly things, and then it just progressed to where it was obvious that there was infidelity, and there was lots of it. But I mean, he was following me and pick fights, and it just got to be a lot. It just really got to be a lot. And I was like, the insecurity and the jealousy and just the lies on top of lies. And, I mean, just like doing real petty stuff, like not getting your way, flipping fuses. I mean, throwing furniture out. It was just crazy. It was the craziest thing ever.
You stuck in there, like you say, long time. Long time.
Yeah. I did.
That's crazy. Anybody want to comment on that? On her toxicity?
Yes, I would like to.
Go ahead.
Well, for the most part, everybody do not have a strong constitution or either a foundation in their brain that's called maturity. Now, the brain is, it don't think. It's not analytical. It's not like our conscious. But the brain, it holds information that's gathered from our conscious or from thought entry where thoughts are born.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have not gotten past what they learned in the learning stage of immaturity, from teenage to coming into adulthood. Some people haven't got past that there's no information to go farther in their brain, because lack of study, lack of furthering your knowledge, first of all, I say lack of not being in God who created you, well, that can leave a void for his understanding and knowledge. So if you are, have you matured to 32, and they left at 16 because they had no teachings past the 16th year of their life, and the conduct of the 16th, the discipline of the 16 years is still ringing in their brain because they haven't expanded no knowledge.
Mm-hmm,
so therefore, they don't have no foundation of maturity in their brain to tell them, say, okay, you're now 25. You got to get ready to do bills. You got to get ready. All the responsibilities and all of the demands of life, you got to meet them now. They still in the thing that if I got a woman or a man, I can toss all the responsibilities on them, and I can still be 16. Well, that brings toxicity into a relationship, because the one that's mature and doing what they're supposed to do, the toxicity of the other person thinking the mindset of 16, I'm just using that, the mindset of 16, well, then he's not contributing like he should. He can't. He can't because he's 16 in his mind. His mind is not a 16-year-old mind.
Not mature.
It's not in a relationship being able to take care of responsibilities, pay house notes, pay car notes, and deal with all of the demands that an adult deal with. Well, he might be 32 like you. But if he had no teachings, or if he's not grasping life and educating himself to the degree of what he's supposed to do as a man, well, then toxicity is going to be what he offers. There's no way that he can accommodate a mature person. They might think he can, but he's still 16. He's 32 years old. But in his mind, he's still got the information in his brain of a 16-year-old. So that's going to be a bitter pill. And when you expect of him or her to do better, you become disappointed, and you become angry, and you be the person that used this word. Why did I get myself into this? Or how did I get myself into this? Well, right. You got to understand. He was acting, or she was acting, as if they were mature because they was going to use you to move up from the stage of where they was. And they thought that, you know, you're going to give everything to them, because they still, remember, they're 32, but they got that 16-year-old mind. They're looking for somebody to take care of them. They're not developed to take care of somebody or to be partners in a relationship. They haven't developed there yet. Now, they might be beat. They might be energetic in the bedroom and all of this kind of thing. But if you throw the responsibility of adults on people who have not expanded their knowledge to maturity in their brains and have some stuff stored up, what to do and what not to do, then you're going to have a toxic relationship, because you're going to be going forward,
true,
and you're going to be ahead of them, and they're still right there 16. And that's going to make things miserable. Oh, let's stop right
that's
there.
That's true.
That is definitely true.
That is so true. Anybody else want to comment? You want to do your role playing, Joe, or you want to wait? Joe?
Hello.
Okay, I can hear you now. You want to do your role playing now, or you want to wait? Are you speaking?
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Do the role playing now, which is good.
Okay. So you want to come up with the scenarios?
No.
Since it's your
idea.
You can
come up with any one.
Okay, thanks.
Any one. It can be an argument. It can be a woman who is sullen. It can be somebody who is jealous. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Okay. Let me go through these next two, and then we'll go into role play.
Okay.
The next one is denial and gaslighting. I never knew what the gaslighting was. It's like, that's crazy. It sounds like adulting. It's like, what? Who would? Anyway, a toxic person is unable or unwilling to see his or her impact on the other person. They deny issues, attempting to gaslight the other person, manipulate events, or attempt to recreate history to put themselves in the best light. Okay. Anybody ever been in those situations?
I'm going to say yes still.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes still because I know, like, in my same scenario I had mentioned last, it was, I mean, like, even going, like, through all the counseling and everything, I got painted to be the bad guy. They even told me in so many words that it was my fault that I was triggering this behavior, but they couldn't explain to me how. So I was like,
wow.
I'm just over it. I'm out of this. I don't want it anymore. But then I think about it. I took a vacation, went to see some family, came back, was like, okay. Then it's like, I'm going to change this behavior. I'm not going to do this. It's not going to be that way. And that would last like 1 or 2 days visibly when, like, behind the scenes, it was the same thing. So it's like you paint this facade for behaviors that you're not willing to commit to, and it just dragged, like, this whole scenario out way longer than it should have. I've never been so tolerant a person. It took me a while to get over being upset with myself for dealing with it.
For so long.
Because, I mean, it's not my nature. It's not my personality. But it was just that optimism. But then it was still all that manipulated behavior and dialect and trying to reverse psychology, and I mean, yeah, unfortunately I've lived through it. Not fun. It's not fun at all.
Doesn't sound like it. Anybody else want to comment? Reverend Ron, I'm sure you know somebody had somebody, or you know, come up with a situation.
Yeah. For the most part, when people are not comfortable with who they are, they won't be comfortable with another person being one with them. If a person do not like or care for their own self inwardly, then they are not going to be comfortable with another person in close proximity with them. Because you got to remember, they're battling within themselves. And if they've already got into a committed relationship, it's really a war with them when they're not used to doing certain things and now they have to step up to the plate and do them. They used to have a fight by themselves within their own mind. But
that's
now, they're not only fighting with themselves, but now they got to try to bring some sanity together to deal with the person that they're in a committed relationship with. So that's another power of pressure. Because that person that's bringing the toxicity do not know how to cast down the evil personalities that are speaking to them of the past hurt. You see, that's why you have to let bygones be bygones. And you have to move on, because if you don't, you'll never heal. And if you never heal, but then you take pain from one relation to another, then you create what they call excess. Because you're taking pain to every relationship, no one wants pain.
Right. They don't want all that baggage. That's right. That's right.
So yes, if you love the person, to heal a person, you have to be totally truthful with them. You can't sit back and say, well, I let that slide, or I let that slide. No,
mm-hmm.
because you are opening the floodgates for toxicity to take over your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they're already
being controlled by evil personalities. And they got their mind totally locked up. So all they can do is accommodate the things that are wrong. They can't see past the hurt, so all they can do is accommodate the things that are wrong. They cater toward the things that are wrong as opposed to cater toward the things that are right.
Because
evil personalities keep telling them, hey, go on out there and get you a woman, and but you got a good woman at home. But the evil personality is telling you, get you a woman and you're going to feel better from the bad relationship you had first. Look at that information. Go get you a woman. You're going to feel better, and you're going to get rid of the pain of the past relationship. Well,
mm-hmm.
look at them. The advice is causing the person to go do more wrong and get more toxic to come back to the person that they're in a committed relationship with. Now, the toxicity grows. So the mature person in the relationship now is ready to pack their bags and leave. Because not only are you in an immature stage, but you've got a mental blockage to the point you can't see reality and participate with truth. You're now catering to wrong. Now you're a candidate to bring a disease in the house. Now you're a candidate to throw away money because the evil personalities has got you locked into the old bad experience. It's got you taking money away from the house that you need to pay bills with. You're going out there now to create a relationship with somebody that's toxic. So they don't get your money. So when you come back, not only do you have to try to, I'll stop right here for now so I can come back.
You want to just stop just like that? Just drop it.
Yeah, because I want to give somebody else time to comment.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on denial and gaslighting?
Did Joe say? I didn't hear Joe say.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. You have anything to say? Giving in on everything. While it is important to be willing to give and take, compromise, or even do what the other partner wants in a healthy relationship, this is expected behavior in a toxic relationship. That's like I was saying earlier. If you find you are giving into everything, even things you find morally, as Rhonda was saying earlier, that an immoral person hurts and harms you personally or ethically objectionable, just to keep the other person happy, you are in a toxic relationship because it's not healthy. You're not speaking up for yourself, and it's just not a good look. You're going to say, yes, dear. It almost feels like coming to America, and when Eddie and the other lady was getting married, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Jump on one leg and bark like a dog. Urf, urf, urf. Urf, urf, urf. You know, that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
Now, if I could only find a woman like that, that would be the perfect woman. Mm-hmm.
Click.
The hair right there doesn't say a thing now, right? She says nothing.
I said click. I said click.
Yeah, right. She said, okay, bye, Joe.
Click. No,
but
I mean,
you know,
because
what?
You're hold on, because it's like you're a robot, and you just, it's just like you're just a puppet, and you, like, you don't have any say in the whole relationship, and that's not good. You got in the marriage to be partners, not to be somebody's slave, right? Who's making all the noise in the background?
Oh, sorry.
Make all the noise in the background.
I'll put myself on mute. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear click, so I'll put myself on mute. Mm-hmm. All
right. But thank you. But no, that's not a good look, because like when you give in to everything, what kind of person are you? You are nothing anymore. You have nothing. You're just giving in and just, you know, doing and going in rote, I guess they say. But it's you've given up your identity, I guess is the word. You've lost yourself in everything. So that's how I feel about that. Like you've lost yourself in everything. Key?
No, I have no comment for that.
No comment? You don't feel like, you know, you're not, because I know you're not one to give in on and everything, because you're a very strong person. So I know it's like, oh, heck no.
Oh, yeah, I never got that far.
Mm-hmm. In the 18 years, it never amounted to that.
Mm-mm.
That's good. That's good. Okay, Joe, you can unmute yourself and comment.
Thanks. I do want to make a question. Key,
okay.
You've been in a toxic relationship for 18 years, and you just said that you never gave in. How could you stay in a relationship that long without giving in at all?
Hello.
Well, no. From what I remember, the conversation was about just giving in to everything, including immoral behavior. None of those things apply to me. I tolerated things. I accepted things. Gave some things a pass. Never gave in. Never did any moral behavior. So.
Okay.
Okay. So we got some clarification there. All right.
What about you, Joe? Because I know you're a strong person, too, because like you were saying earlier in your earlier conversations, hey, you see them, I won't say it's my way or the highway, but, you know, you didn't tolerate a lot of things. It's like, you know, if it's not going to work, why are we together? You know, just like, you
well,
know, when you went to
lot.
Dinner with that
right.
one young, you know, when you went to dinner, it's like, no. Basically, you get your own food. It's like, what? And this is how our relationship is going to be on the first date? I can imagine what the
first
rest
date.
Of our time would be if, yeah, I can
yeah.
imagine what our time would be together if we would have stayed together. You would have been miserable, and you would have made her miserable. So that, no, you're right. I'm taking you home. I'm not saying anything, dropping you off, and see you later, senorita.
That was it. Precisely. It was the first date. We had already gone to a movie. We kind of snuggled up in the movie. Now it was time for the part of the trifecta. We're going to get something to eat, and then after that, we were going to go dancing. So I asked her to get the salad, which she was going to get up and get anyway, and she refused to do it because she said she was serving people up
tired.
There as a secretary. Serving people all day. Okay, fine. As a secretary, you follow the orders of the bosses and maybe some other bosses. But now it's time to relax, and since you're already going up, I didn't say this to her, but this is in my mind. Since you're already going up to get salad for yourself, how difficult can it be to get another plate from the stack of plates, put some salad on it, and bring it back to the guy that's showing you a good time?
Yeah.
So when she didn't do that, nope, no dancing. into the car, home, hasta la vista. Simple.
Danced her to her front porch. You tangled her to her front porch. That's basically what you did. Tangled her to her front porch.
I just bought the car went to the front of the house, but walking her to the front porch? No.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't going to happen. So that was it. Tolerance. I do give in. I believe in submission. I believe if somebody is having a bad day, a bad week, and I think that they're not malicious, but they're having some sort of problems that need to have support, I will give them support. But support can only last so long. If I can give, maybe in the role play we can do that. If I give support over and over again and it's not working, as you said, you know, I don't want to be miserable and have her be miserable in the relationship. So one of us has got to go, or both of us has got to go. You
Right. Okay. Reverend Ron?
Well, again.
Well.
I took what I thought was the perfect person in my mind.
And I kind of
put it on the woman I met. But she wasn't that person. She didn't come prepared to be that person. And me being a cultivator, well, I didn't put the time in cultivating her into that person. So I just went on thinking that what I feel in my mind is supposed to happen to me from a woman, she already know. That wasn't the case.
Okay.
Some people say, well, can you blame it on youthfulness not being your age? Or no, because it was the same age. So I couldn't blame it on the age difference. It's just that they had never been taught what I was expecting in my mind that a woman should be to a man. She was thinking about what her people had told her, what a man's supposed to be to her, what he's supposed to do for her, how he's supposed to treat her, how he's supposed to be the provider, how he's supposed to be this, how he's supposed to be that, but never taught her how to love him back to keep him to be all of those things.
Okay.
So,
okay, let me say, preach it, Roland. That's all I wanted to say.
But you understand what I'm saying? But now, God never gave us a complete person. All right? He gave us how to share with those people to bring them up to par of being a complete person. That's male and female, what I'm speaking. Key, I don't want you to think I'm just talking about a woman. But this happened both ways.
I thought nothing.
but this happened both ways, right? So, but in my experience, and when God did open up my eyes to see what I was doing wrong, it gave me a different respect for the woman. I stopped thinking that she's already prepared to give me my every expectation because she didn't come ready for that.
Okay.
But when I began to share with her and ask her, hey, you going to let me teach you how to love me? Is that important to you to understand how I want to be loved? Is that important? You understand what I'm saying? And not just being a one-sided situation, but I was willing to be for her what I wanted her to be for me.
Okay.
But she can accommodate me because she didn't come ready for that. And I didn't cultivate her. I didn't educate her. I didn't teach her. I was just expecting that she already knew. But she didn't come packing like that. So that was my frustration. But it was my own fault because I didn't start teaching her. I just went along with what I expected. But somebody can't give you your expectation if you don't tell them what your expectations are. The only somebody can give you your expectation without you saying it is God. But an individual, no, it's not going to happen.
I second that emotion.
Your emotion. So you went into relationship already knowing what you wanted, correct? And knowing how to act. So therefore you knew, you know, what you wanted. And so when, I won't say when she didn't deliver, you explained it to her. I won't say trained her or taught her, but you explained it to her so that she was more aware on the same level as you were, so that you guys could be in conjunction with each other, correct?
Right, but she was stumped. because mm-hmm. she had never heard a man share with her
mm-hmm.
what he expected. She only the relationship was built. The relationship was built upon what she expected and what she had been taught a man supposed to do.
Okay.
Y'all said she didn't have no fortitude of knowing what she's mm-hmm. supposed to reciprocate back to the man to make the man be the greatest guy. It's a way that a woman can respond to a man. It'll make him do great things. It's a way a woman can respond to a man that she's not supposed to respond to. It'll make him go into a shell, trying to figure out what's wrong with her.
Mm,
well,
mm-hmm,
she going to have a problem. She's not going to understand if she don't know. He's not going to understand if he don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to the brain don't think, but it's a central reception station that houses sensory and perception. It houses knowledge. And it's just like the modern-day computer. If you don't put the program in the computer, you're just going to have a blank screen.
Uh-huh,
but,
if
the computer gets a program, then you're going to get activity. So if the woman,
okay.
if a man in a relationship expects for a woman to be a certain way, he's going to have to teach her that way. And when I use the word teach,
okay.
I'm not belittling or taking it away.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have to be cultivated. They're going to have to be in a relationship. It's going to be some cultivation need to be done. It's going to be some education need to be done. It's going
uh-huh.
to be some enhancement need to be done in the relationship, especially if the woman have lived the life of X or the man. If they've had nothing
hmm.
but X, they ain't had no fulfillment in no relationship because every relationship has been an X.
Hmm. Right. Well,
and you can see
yeah,
why.
Because,
you can see why.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep.
Go ahead.
You heard
good
your
evening,
voice,
FD.
Right? Yes. Welcome, Eddie. We've been missing you.
Eddie, what's
hey,
going
how you
on?
Doing? Greetings,
welcome.
Greetings. How's everybody? So
everybody's
ready.
Good.
You're just
so
in
far.
Time for
yeah.
some role playing, Eddie.
Oh, don't you know it, Let's, Joe? Don't you know?
That's right.
And where we at? How's the emphasis? How you doing, Doc? Key, anybody? Who else is on?
Key, Reverend Ron and Joe and myself and my home biscuit, Rhonda, out of Maryland, a ride and die. Mm-hmm. That's who's
okay.
on right
greetings
now.
Greetings, all.
Mm-hmm.
Good day.
Yes, yes. But we're talking about toxic relationships, and, you know, we've gone through some of the signs of toxic relationships, and your bro Joe from Another Mother wants to do some role play. So I'm going to let him lead the role play because I don't know what he wants to play. Probably not fair, but anyway. Some of the signs that we've had thus far
uh-huh.
are isolation, ongoing disagreements and arguments, blaming, the blame game, jealousy and dishonesty, denial and gaslighting, and giving in on everything. That was the last one that we've talked about thus far. So you want to start your role play, Joe?
Yeah, name a situation. Name any situation outside of the one where you're married and the husband or wife is sitting down to have a discussion about where to send the kids. That one is a very tricky one because it does involve her participation and it involves one person making the decision. But other than that, make a relationship, not a marriage, well, even a marriage, okay? But where jealousy, accusations, she's being very sullen, mysterious, she's accusing me of something, doesn't matter. You name it, you set it up.
I got the answer.
Yeah, you said it.
Oh, is that
you
right?
You set it up, Joe. Mm-hmm. Where is
yeah.
your solution? Where is the solution at?
No, let Eddie set it up. He said he's got the answer. So let him set it up, and then I'll do it with either Inez or Key.
But I was, no, I was wondering what the solution is.
Turn. I did the role playing last time.
Yeah, you didn't do any role playing. Where? When?
It was the topic we were talking about, like give and take, and we did the role playing thing about you coming from work and I was tired and you wanted lasagna and I made you a sandwich and we went back and forth on that, remember?
I don't think I was there. I would have liked that.
You because
you went out to get the lasagna that she didn't cook. That's why you weren't there. You left.
That's right. And you should have tasted it. It was delicious when I finished.
So,
don't be hungry tonight, Eddie. You missed out.
Maybe I guess on Hungry Howie. Okay, so
Hungry Howie's the house.
What's the game of a bologna sandwich?
Right? Yeah, right.
I was thinking of some air pudding myself.
Woo!
Hey.
Anybody ever had air pudding?
Air pudding?
No. Ed, I was going to say, y'all mm-hmm. don't know nothing about no air pudding. You don't know either, Eddie? Y'all have never
air
heard
pudding?
No air pudding before. Yeah.
Yeah,
air pudding.
I've heard of air pudding.
Rev is laughing, so I don't even know if I want
to explain air pudding? Go ahead, Rev.
Hey, air pudding is when you take the spoon and you put it on the plate and that's all you got.
That's not how my mama explained it to us. Is that you open your mouth and close your mouth and there ain't nothing in there.
Air pudding.
Well, I never had air pudding, trust me. I never had that.
That's for the folks that don't have who are, I won't say ghetto people, but didn't have much money. So they when they have mayonnaise sandwiches or butter sandwiches that's what air pudding is. So, yeah, that's
I have mayonnaise sandwiches anyway. I love mayonnaise. I put mayonnaise in just about anything.
Well, you know, the real air pudding is
not no
is
miracle exactly. That's nothing.
I was looking at it as you got, you know, your significant other pissed off, and when you come home, that's all that's on the table is the plate and the spoon, and that's all you're getting from the kitchen unless you go in there and handle
it. That sounds like it, too.
That's what
right?
That's what air pudding was.
That's what
I
it
know
is.
Air pudding was.
You get nothing.
That's
know
what
air
it is.
Was.
I mean, oh, boy.
Yeah.
You there
can you imagine
yourself.
Coming home when you're asking what do we have tonight? You got air pudding now. Shut up.
Either put up or shut up. That's it. As that's too funny. So y'all learned something.
Because another aspect, yeah, but I just want to add to the equation also. Another aspect of it is that's what you call that private time. But that's what we used to call it, pudding.
Well, that's a different pudding.
That's exactly. That's why I was pondering. When you said air, it's like, oh, it's really going to be cold in the house. There ain't going to be no kind of heat going on in here. Man, I can't get that to eat. I got to sleep on the couch, too. This dog house.
No, no, this air pudding is totally different. It's so funny. That's hilarious. Y'all something else. No, but go ahead and set up your role playing, Joe, because, you know, you're
all
the
right.
one who wanted
I'll
to
tell
do
you
it,
what.
So.
Okay. Okay. It'll be me and you, because Key chickened out. So, no response?
Okay.
Oh, okay. You must be getting a sandwich. In any case, okay, so why don't you think of a situation where you are really pissed off at somebody for some reason, that person is me, and we can take it from there, okay? Mm-hmm. Try to make it as realistic as possible.
Action.
I came home and I ran to the bathroom and what was the toilet seat up? I fell right into the toilet. What's wrong with you? You already know the situation, Joe. Why don't you put the toilet seat down?
Because I told you at the beginning, that I tend to forget. Now, I'm sorry you got your, you know, your butt wet.
Dear rear wet.
For you to go, you know, but you, if you go into your own bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning and you don't turn on any lights, I'm sorry, but that's not my fault. I'll try to remember since I don't live here. But if I was to live here, babe, there would be no apologies because I'm not used to just leaving it down or just leaving it up. It just goes up or down depending. Now, you're a grown woman. Okay.
But we's married, Joe. We's married.
Oh, we're married.
Do you live in?
Oh, we're married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah.
You already know the situation.
Well, then, darling,
you know.
I can tell you the cure. Two more times that you get your butt wet, you will turn on the light.
No, because I'd be running. What you do is, we'll just keep it down all the time. It's all both lids, and then I'll know what direction I have to go. I'll fill the seat, the toilet seat is down, and the cover is down, and I'll know. That's all I got to say about that there. Nah.
Well, all right, but I'll tell you what, since we are married, and you know who I am, and we talked about this, and we know that at times, the seat will be up or will be down, and I told you to accommodate just that, just to impose that particular little regulation on me about the toilet seat. I have a feeling that you're just doing it in order to try to start an argument. What's the real problem? Because you know how to leave it up or down and turn on the light. So there's something behind what you're saying. What do you think it is?
I don't love you anymore.
Well, then I hope you drown your butt.
And the seat will never be down again.
Yeah. Okay. But to take it, let's say you did say that. Now, I would.
How would you deal with that?
Yeah. That's what I was going to do. Let's say you did say that. I don't love you anymore. And after I get over the shock, and I say, okay. All right, now you have to pick me up off the floor because if you said that all of a sudden, I'm gonna be in shock. But let's say, okay, what the hell did you just say?
I'm gonna pull an Erica Badu on you. That's what I'm gonna do.
You're gonna do a what?
You better call Erica Badu.
Erica Badu.
You're gonna have to call Tyrone. You're gonna have to call Tyrone.
I have to call Tyrone.
So you don't know who Erica Badu is?
No.
Okay. Wow. She made some interesting songs.
Yeah, y'all got to fix that, man. That's too open right there. Y'all got to deal with the part that she says she don't love you, man.
Yeah.
You got to deal with that, Joe.
I know, I'm trying to, but Erica Badu just stepped in. So I'm going to find out.
Yes, she did.
Erica Badu is a songstress, and she has a song called Tyrone because he don't do nothing for her. Everything that's, he just is no good, basically. So he don't have a phone. He don't have any money. He don't have anything except for his friends at Jim, Jones, Paul, and Tyrone. That's all he has. And he doesn't really, and I'm like second fiddle to him. So, I always have to pull out the cash to pay for everything, We go all these different places, and you don't have no money. You don't have nothing. So
all right. So now I know. Okay. So now I know not only are we in this particular scenario, but it's at a twilight zone because Tyrone is not me, okay? So let's make it realistic. You don't love me for whatever reason. It's not because I don't have cash, and it's not because I cheated on you, but maybe you believe I've cheated on you, okay? Now, that could be something that might be somewhat realistic. All right, so
make it realistic. It seems like, every time I want to do something, you always seem to go out. I'm really jealous of you being able to go out, and I'm stuck here, at home. I don't, we don't go out. We just,
okay, good
you know,
one.
I sit
okay.
here and you go out with the fellas and everything. I know I don't have that many girlfriends and we're in a new city and town and everything, and you're the one who has a job, and all I do is just sit home and make dinner and everything. Can you take me out sometime? Can we have some fun? Can we do something? Can we liven up this party? You know, I'm tired of being the whipping boy, or, you know, just, you know, being submissive and just being at home and you come home. You know, can we change that scenario?
Well, yeah, so, okay, I'd be glad to. Now, you're saying I keep going out with the boys. I do that
mm-hmm.
once a week, and I do that during the week. I don't do it on the weekends. I'm sorry, sweetie, but I must have misinterpreted what I saw about your being sweetened, because I always thought that you didn't mind staying home. But now that I know that on the weekends you would like to go out more often, hey, not a problem with me. I'd be glad to show you off, you and your thick legs and your short hairdo and your, you know, because, you know, I didn't marry you for your beauty. I married you because you're terrific. So I don't mind. So I'd be glad to show you off. You're my trophy wife, even though you put on 20
wow.
pounds. So.
But you love those 20 pounds.
I absolutely love those 20 pounds. No.
Because there's more of me.
So that's another discussion. That's another discussion. But I will say, okay, you're right. You know, I should be taking you out more often, but that's my fault. I like I said, because you didn't say anything in the past, and I always thought of you as a home girl, as a girl that likes to stay home and, you know, and do the domestic activities. I'd be glad to take you out. How
okay.
about this Friday? Where would you like to go?
Hold on. That's not what we used to do. We used to take me out all the time before we got married. Now I'm just at home and waiting for you to come home. That's not what we used to do in the past. So what makes you think that I'm just a home biscuit and stay at home?
Well, because now we're married. And as a married person, the first 6 months, you were doing that and didn't say anything. And I had to work. I also did go out with the guys from work, from the job, once a week after that, and you never said anything. So that's why. And again, you're right. I can't read minds, but I'm glad you spoke up. If you don't like being here on the weekends, okay, that's not a problem. Tomorrow's Friday. Where would you like to go?
Okay. We can go out dancing. We can go, you know, watch the sunset and the moon rise. We could go, I know you like to dance, so we can go dancing. You know, we don't even have to go anywhere. It could be at home. It could just be the two of us, just spending some
no,
quality
no, no,
time.
No, no, baby. It will be the two of us, but it won't be at home, because you do seem like you do want to go out, and I agree with you. You know, if being home all this time is really bothering you, I like the suggestion, you know, the thoughtfulness of your saying to me, we can stay at home, but nah. Let me take you out. And then even after we go out, we can go out under the stars if we want to. And then we can come home. And we can do it again next week, too. Sorry that you feel that I neglected you, but
well,
I know.
Thank you. I guess I just had to speak up.
We can
up.
Do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you won't
that
be,
was easy.
You won't be
make it a hard
80,
one.
You won't be, working 80 hours. You won't be working 80 hours like someone else suggested it as the first, you know, when we first get married, so that make sure that our home life is
that's different, though. See, that's different. See, you brought up a suggestion. I'm going out with my friends. Now, if you bring up the part where I'm working 60 hours a week and I'm not home,
mm-hmm.
now that's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a different, you know, retort for that. You
okay.
want to bring that up? Okay,
mm-mm.
So now you're saying to me, you're feeling kind of neglected because you don't see me around that often and we don't go out as often as we used to before we got married because of I'm working. Okay. Sweetie, you know why I'm working?
Yes.
Because of you and me.
Why?
Because I want to build,
mm-hmm.
I want to build the future for the both of us. And nobody's ever built a future that I know of working only 40 hours a week on a job. So I'm working an extra 20 hours to do that. We've saved up money. I've got some plans in the future, and I understand how you feel kind of forsaken, but I wish I could accommodate you. I wish I could take you out on the weekends, but I am busy on Saturdays, not so much on Sundays. I can take you out on a Sunday, but, you know, the clubs which you like to go to, they're not open on Sundays. But if you have a suggestion that maybe we can, you know, go visit your mom, go visit my parents, or just spend some time, some quiet time together under the sun or under the stars,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for
mm-hmm.
it. But that's the reason why
okay.
I haven't been home. And I'm glad that you told me about it. But you have to understand, I have to do the 60 because we
okay,
are
so,
looking. Yeah.
So
yes,
to relieve you, to relieve you some of the, to relieve some of that pressure, what if I went out and got a job? Are you into that?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that. Now, unless we're not seeing each other at all, now that's a good situation. Because you're working, I'm working, we don't see each other at all. Somebody has to give, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm
okay.
trying to relieve some of the pressure of you working so that we can
right.
spend some time together.
But who's to say that
so
they won't
have
be working
work.
The same hours?
Well, that's... Well, if we're not, then we don't have a scenario for us to have a role play for.
Again, something else that needs to be looked at too, just y'all smooth over. When she told you that she didn't love you no more, now y'all just smoothed over that. You're gonna
oh,
say
yeah,
you smoothed
she,
over
we went
that,
past
but
that.
that's gonna come up again because those are strong words. To hear your significant others tell you. Now, you might smooth over with, we're going to do this. But then somewhere down the line, that's going to have to be explained. And where did that come from?
Well, she did. She said because I was working, going out with my friends. And so that I said, I don't have to go out with my, go with my friends once a week, you know, during the week, not on the weekends. And then I can take her out on Friday. And then she didn't, you know, she didn't say, but I still don't love you, or she didn't give any other kind of excuse as to why that wouldn't work. So I kind of
that
thought
was a
that
was a
that
different
we were on,
role play. That was a different
yeah,
role play.
Yeah, I thought that was on the way to healing.
Two,
oh, all right.
Yeah.
No,
okay, so you want to hear?
Just like Rev mm-hmm. said, though, you never asked mm-hmm. her, is that the reason why she said that she doesn't love you? Or once the
good
issue
point.
Was resolved with you taking her out now.
Yeah.
You
good
know,
point. Good point.
You,
oh,
did,
oh,
you,
she
did,
feels
you didn't
the same
ask
way.
Her. Right. You didn't ask her if, does she love you more now? Or did she just say that because she didn't know how to express her feelings?
Break that out.
Like Doc said.
Okay.
If there's a possibility that she doesn't love you, you know. She might meet some people out there. You know, who knows? I don't think it would be that go that way, but I'm just saying, you know, because you start taking her out, then there's other guys that's going to be asking her to dance, to go dancing and things like that. And then she might say yes.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. No, that's a no. All right? Right then and there, there's no discussion. That's a no. But that's a good point that both of you brought up. I didn't ask her because I thought that was – all right. Baby, how come you just floored me with this one, all right? Yeah, and you were talking about, okay, my going out or you're staying home. Is that the reason? Remember, I did say there's something else besides that.
Right,
that's behind,
right.
And that's what, that's
right.
what I That's why I clarified it, because I don't love you anymore, because
yeah.
you're just not home. We just don't have any relationship. I'm just home by myself. So I don't have no room to love you because there's nowhere here to love.
Well, those words are pretty deep
yeah.
for what
They're
you're
cutting.
Dealing with.
They're very
you know?
Cutting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I would say then, if she was saying that to me, I would say, Is that the reason? I mean, if I took you out more often, do you think that love could be rekindled? Is that the real reason
yeah.
why you don't love me anymore? Because I haven't been
yeah,
taking you out. Is there anything else? Have I been bad to you? Have I not listened to you? Have I dismissed you? Have I not paid attention to you? Is there anything else, or is just the fact that I haven't taken you out?
Well, because you haven't paid attention to me, because you are working, the reason why. It's like I feel empty. I don't feel complete. I just feel like a limp noodle.
Okay. Now you're saying working. Okay, now that brings it back to the work situation. Babe, I'm going to do as much as possible to reassure you that I still care about you now as much as when I met you, married you, and on our honeymoon. But the work situation, nothing I can do about that. I have to work unless you want me to stop. And if we stop, then we're not building anything.
But then again,
in the meantime,
if I get a job, would you cut back your hours? Is the question.
Okay, and that's another discussion. All right. Now, look, if you've got a job, I have no objection to it. You'd be adding money to the kitty. Maybe I can cut back on my hours. That'll be really good because I don't enjoy working 60 hours a week, but I feel I have to. But if you work, whatever amount of hours that we agree upon, that would really help me out. You know what? I never thought I could love you more than I do right at this moment.
Oh, that's so sweet. Because, see, I want to bring something to the table. I just don't want to be at the table and eat. I want to be able to bring something to the table to make our relationship even grow more.
Oh, wow. That is terrific.
But
now, I could go on all night with the role play, but that would be taking up other people's time. Do other people want to role play, or do we want to go back to the question? I can do role play for a while. But I like the critique.
Have somebody
See, the critique
else
is
play.
Important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
This is not so much of the role play, but that was a good sketch. But using the words, I don't love you anymore, it goes deeper into the heart than it would be if we had a discussion of dislikes and likes. Because when you tell somebody, you not only do you stunt them, but you disdain them to the point of the good that they've been doing when you say, I don't love you no more.
Mm-hmm.
Those words should really not be used in a relationship, especially if it's something on a scale of like and dislike. That shouldn't be added. That shouldn't be added into that. Now you could say it's possibly, hey, listen, I don't like this the way this is going, but that because stop and think, it's kind of immature on the woman part. If she don't want the man to work and take care of things that she wants and take care of the household and the demands that meets the man at the door. Now, if he has if he's allowing you to sit home and be comfortable while he win the bread and take care of the responsibilities, and you know that he's not out there cheating and going on and so on and as such, well, then it's kind of immature on the woman's part if you're not accommodating the man with love for his efforts.
Right. Mm-hmm. I understand.
I hear you.
So you have to be really cautious. I know this was a sketch, but for the general audience and for the conversation, toxic relationship, you got to be careful. A woman in a relationship got to be careful that she don't bring toxicity with her thinking. Sitting at home being comfortable while the dude out there being a horse pulling everything. She got to make sure that the delusions and the evil personalities don't speak in her mind trivial things, and she sacramentalized them. So a lot of people, they sacramentalize the trivial. What am I saying? They lift up the unimportant things, and the important things they sweep under the rug, right? For the most part, A mature person, say if my woman not working and I'm not working, the mature man is to make her feel good when she walks through the door. Hey, baby, what can I get you? I have the water ready for me to get in the tub. I have the food done. You know what I'm saying? And the house needs cleaning. Well, I'm there. I'm not working. then I'm going to accommodate in that manner much love as I can give the person that's doing the strenuous test to keep the relationship going. Not sitting up with no delusion talking about, I don't love you. That's the last thing you want to hear.
Right. Right. I know. It's just a role play.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
I'm just like, that's, why,
Yeah. So with if Eddie doesn't mind and Key doesn't mind, if you don't mind, Reverend, let me take the finality of that and take it away from just the you got me sitting home and I feel no attention.
Yeah.
Let me address with Inez if she doesn't mind. She doesn't love me anymore. There's nothing I can do, okay, to bring back the love. So all right. So now, but you just told me what? You don't love me anymore? Well, wait a minute. Where? Say that again.
I don't love you anymore.
Teddy Pendergrass, you know?
Yeah, right. I'm also thinking of I'm calling the doctor because I'm just on the floor. I got a heart attack. But, okay, now I'm floored, but I'm stunned. And I don't respect this at all.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I got exactly what revives a man. When a woman says that out the blue like that, first thing you think about
another
is,
woman.
Exactly how much insurance, life insurance this heifer has on me. She's trying to make me have a heart attack. She ain't got none of that doggone money. I ain't dying.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to get life insurance. Kill the man by telling him I don't love you anymore.
Especially after he's been hauling bricks.
Excuse me. I don't have any money because he makes it all. I don't have anything. I'm just sitting at home. What life insurance?
Yeah, that's why you're telling me you don't love me anymore, so I die. And get the life insurance.
See?
So you must have taken it out
know.
Of
No, I got life insurance out on both of y'all. I got life insurance on them, those fish in the fish tank over there in the corner. That's right. I got insurance on all of it. I am one of the writers of this show, you know, but my point is this. In my culture and most cultures, that man, he goes out in this situation, if they agree that she's going to be a housewife, he comes home and he brings that money home and he puts it on the table so that she can navigate the bills in the household. He's not paying the bills. He's paying the bills because of the finances. She navigates the money because that's the way I was raised. I mean, my mother always had a job, but I'm just saying at the same time, she still took care of all the bills. My father didn't take care of the bills. My father put the money on the table and...
And took that responsibility
I'm just saying,
off of him.
I could yield it.
No, you're fine. But that responsibility was, I mean, he made the money, so, hey, I make it. You the one who needs to delve it out and put it to where it needs to go.
So, what do you say, Kay? What do you say to that? Kay?
Which part?
Empress.
The part about who takes care of the bills in the household. He brings the money home. Does he pay the bills? I mean, express the payments of the bills also, or does the wife make sure all the bills and things is paid? He comes home, puts money on the table for the house expenses, whatever the case may be, yes or no?
Most women do. There are the circumstances where he may not be responsible with the money, and he has to do it himself.
Okay.
Maybe she got, like, cabbage, the vices, and he bring the money, and next thing you know, the house in foreclosure. I mean, I've seen scenarios like
that's
that.
That's happened.
And then you wouldn't even be aware. So, I mean, if it's not too much damage, then, you know, he might ring it in and be like, I got this. But... I mean, in most stable relationships, the women will do it. But then I do know of some couples personally where the husband would pay, like, the bigger bills, and then the wife would pay, like, the smaller bills. So then they both each took the tax.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Y'all good on that one?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, you have another. You have another scenario you want to do?
Well, how can you beat the fact that the woman's no longer in love with you? And she may have a myriad of reasons, but you don't know what they are. So after being stunned.
Oh, goodness. I might do CPR on your behind and say, get up. I might do CPR on you. Like, just walk over you like, you know, you ain't doing it for me. But that's just a role play. I mean, you know. But see, that's what happened to me in my first marriage. I didn't love him anymore.
I second that.
It was the paying of the bills is a discussion that needs to occur before marriage. That's a good idea. That's what Ride and Die says. So, I mean, because sometimes some people, depending on the age of them, when they get married, you know, they have no idea how to split responsibilities and how to split bills and who does what, when, and where. And, you know, these kids these days are a lot of them are so intelligent. It's like, you know, you could just go online and pay your bills. I don't know what you're worried about. Why can't you go? Don't you have an account set up? You know, all you have to do is have one password and set it up. So, you know. But a lot of times, what happened to, oh, yo, it's coming back. Hold on. Let me see.
Hi. Sorry. My app has a two-hour limit, and it disconnected itself this time. Yeah.
That's what I kind of figured a lot of times.
Yeah.
But no, we were talking about sharing of the bills, and Rhonda was saying that paying of the bills is a discussion that needs to occur before marriage. And I was saying that a lot of times, depending on when you get married and who you're marrying, they may not even know survival skills. I mean, they used to teach them sometimes, I think. At least they taught us in school how to, you know, how to write checks and do all other kind of stuff and how to pay bills. But sometimes some people don't know how to pay bills. But these kids these days are so intelligent that they know all that stuff. Oh, you know, can just go online and pay it or what have you. But as far as responsibility-wise, that's what some men would do. They would bring the money home and let the wife handle the finances and what have you. And, you know, and hopefully men don't marry women who don't have a brain. I'm sorry to say that, but sometimes men do that. They marry women who don't have a brain. And they don't know what to do. She's pretty, and that's all she is.
But she looks good on my arm.
Okay, eye candy. When your eye gets poked out, then what happens? That's all.
Yeah, you're right. A whole lot of fighting, too. You're right. A lot of fighting.
And that's where the jealousy, and as we had discussed, is one of the signs of a toxic relationship is jealousy and dishonesty. You know, he may look good until all that stuff, all that wax starts melting. And then what do? But then these days, it's taking people longer to get married because a lot of them know what they want. We have so many independent women, you know, and men don't want a woman that's, you know, ignorant, hopefully, you know. So they want her to bring something to the table. They want to make sure that the relationship is solid. So they have these discussions. And then some people just live together and they don't have discussions. They already know what's going on. So, you know, there's all different types of scenarios in that instance. True enough?
I'll tell you who the stupid. I'll tell you who the stupidest people are in relationships.
Okay.
It's those rich men that get married not just once, but twice or three times. I'm talking about millionaires who, as a result, even if they have a prenup, they can't lock out the wife. there are certain laws in all the states that don't prevent the wife from getting nothing. So when those guys marry the first time, okay, you understand it's for love and you hope. Then you get half your assets transferred over to the divorcee. Then you marry it again, and then again after that. Now that's pure stupidity. Pure stupidity.
You want to tell Ace of One that?
Tell who?
Ace One. That was my first husband. He got married four times. I think I told you that for the fourth time.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, I don't know how much money he was making, but if he had half his assets taken every time that he got divorced, But I was thinking of Trump in particular and other rich people in Hollywood who have gotten married.
Right.
And, you talk about being taken to the cleaners, but they do it again and again.
That's different. And, you know, but they have the money to delve out like that. You know, some of them give them enough money to just, that's it, you're not getting any more. And some women are just intelligent, like, oh, no, you're going to pay me until such and such a date, until you die. You know, I don't care who you marry sometimes.
Well, it all depends.
So.
Also, there's a video on YouTube. You know, there's a video on YouTube where there's an actual discussion between a guy and a girl, and he's suggesting to her about the prenup and the excuses that she brings up to not sign the prenup. I forget the name of the video, but it's interesting. On YouTube,
Eddie, what were you saying?
Yeah, no, I said there's ways, that's what I was getting ready to say, there's ways around all of those things. Just like, for example, in a second marriage, you're already established, you already have your business. So she's not entitled to anything. But then again, it also depends on the reason why you're getting divorced.
Okay.
You know, so a few things you got to take into consideration. Because, again, contracts stipulate basically everything, you know. Sometimes you got to do your own due diligence and study law for yourself because barristers work for the courts anyway.
Okay.
You know, they ain't nothing but agents, most of them. Since you can't hit the woman, maybe you need to hit the barrister, you know. Hey, what you hit me for? I'm paying you. That's why. Hit that look. I'm paying you. I can't hit her.
Anybody hit the lottery? No, I'm just messing.
Oh, man, I didn't even play.
You're all right.
Today is Tuesday.
It's still going to be out
it?
There.
Somebody
hit?
Oh,
Eddie, you missed out on $1 million.
$1 billion. It's
a billion?
That's all right.
Yeah.
I could work with a mill. I could work with $1 million.
I can work with $50 and 10 cents. But anyway, so we have any more scenarios we want to go through?
And I got 24.75 of the 50.
Oh my gosh, 24.75, not even 25.
Come on, Rev. Cash App, Rev. Let me stop. Key, come on, get in the game, y'all. Let's get this together and
Reverend
see what
Ron,
Doc can
you
do
still
with
there?
This $50 and
You're
10
so funny.
Cents.
Reverend Ron, you still there?
He's going
hey,
out on the streets and strange women.
No. It's a call, Tyrone. Hey, B.
Hello.
Oh, B's here now?
Good.
B,
you just joined us, yes.
Sister B is in the house.
B, the sister B. We are talking about toxic relationships this evening. And Joe has us role-playing. And some of the toxicities have been, isolation. A toxic person attempts to isolate the partner from family and friends to limit support to increase dependence on the relationship. Ongoing disagreements and arguments. The blame game. Jealousy and dishonesty. Denial and gaslighting. And giving in on everything. So Now we're down to role playing. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for calling in. You've been doing okay? Base?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Good, 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 good. So, Joe, do you have any more role playing you want to do? Are you still with us, or did you? Okay, you're still there, I guess.
Sure. Any kind of role play that anybody wants to do, doesn't even have to be me. It's a good exercise for people to actually see what they would actually do in a situation which is as close to reality as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think his role play would be cool. Because if he says the wrong thing and pisses her off, she will give him the business, and I think I will enjoy that tonight.
Who's going to role play with B? Me?
Yeah.
How about Reverend Ron?
Let's
no,
do
Reverend
it,
Ron.
Rev's back.
Okay. I don't think so. I don't know what happened to him. He may have.
Go ahead, B. Give it your best shot.
But she doesn't have. You got to give her a scenario as to what, like you gave me.
Any situation that you've been in, B, that's pissed you off about any of the men that you've dated for any particular reason.
Wait, I just want to go here. I just want to go here right quick. B, you and Joe have been married for a while, and he still leaves the toilet seat up. and run
Eddie.
That scenario, Joe, run that scenario by her that you ran by Doc, and let's see what happens. Action.
All right. Okay. Here's what happened, B. You've dunked your butt in the toilet a couple of times because I left the toilet seat up. And now we're married. So you've complained to me about, hey, Joe, how many times do I have to ask you to leave the toilet seat down? And we're married. And I say to you, sweetie, I am sorry that you've taken a bath the wrong way. But here's the thing. You and I are married. You know what kind of man I am. You know what we've said before we got married about the toilet seat. If you keep going in at 3 o'clock in the morning without turning on the lights, knowing that I'm here, okay, married, and you're going to blame me for it, there's got to be something else besides that. Because you know how to leave the toilet seat down or up, and there's got to be more to it. What is it?
That's the scenario?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, he recited everything about, meaning he added to it that there has to be more to it because this was his behavior before you got married and since.
Well, okay. Well, that could be too far. So I'm going to assume that before we got married, we possibly lived together by then. Possibly.
Okay.
But if we didn't, if we did not live together before we got married, because mind you, like I said, when people are dating, you don't always see everything. Right, and it's temporary, whatever. But if you live together, you learn a whole lot more about people. And if there is like, want to go and so, you know what? I have a habit of teaching people their own lessons. So if it's something about not keeping the toilet seat down, because mind you, I'm big on when you flush it, all kinds of germs come flying about that toilet. And if that's not enough to convince somebody, and then they just doing it, mind you, not even making an effort to try to put it down because, of course, I fell in the toilet seat, then I will put laxatives in your food, and then I'm going to remove the toilet seat. And then that way, you'll just get a taste of sitting up in your own stuff as well. And then I'll be like, what was wrong, honey? I mean, there's nothing wrong when I fall in the toilet, so what's wrong with you falling in the toilet?
Welcome to the
Teledome. Yeah, you know what?
Honey, you're the greatest. Go ahead. Hit it with the Ralph Crandon. Baby, you're the greatest.
Boo. If this wasn't Inez's show, I would say boo. But I'm just going to say boo curse. If I knew that, I wouldn't even want to be bothered with it. Laxatives in somebody's food to teach them a lesson. Because I believe, you know, if you say you would do that, I believe you. Because like people say, when they show you who they are, believe them. And then to actually take the time to remove the or loosen up the toilet seat instead of just putting it up or down in order to teach your boyfriend a lesson? Nah, no need for discussion. You're just gone, Tootsie.
Well, I thought we were married.
That's all right.
I thought you guys are married, though. Because, mind you, if we are married, and I'm expressing this to you, and then, like I said, there is no effort. There is nothing that I do in secret. I would always say, keep it up. I would probably say, I'm going to put laxatives in your food and let you. But I don't do anything in secret. It may not happen that night, but I'll tell you.
Mm.
I'd be like, keep
even
it up.
Tell
and
me.
I'm going to tell you to feel
if
like
I married you.
I actually have to go involve me.
If I married you and then you tell me that, I would say, whoa, slow down. You don't think that's a little dramatic? And what would you say?
How often have you had Joe behind in the toilet?
Never, because I've been smart enough to know. I would know that a toilet seat weighs about 6 ounces, and I would either leave it up or leave it down like you should. Now, for you to do that, I don't mind finding out, okay, you just explained something to me, which is very dramatic and very disturbing. You'd actually put laxatives in my food after we're married just to teach me a lesson and loosen up the toilet seat? Okay. Now, what's registered with me is that you're sick as hell, but I want to find out what caused the trauma.
Well,
and
here's
I would say,
the thing. Because these are hypotheticals. Now, like, people can say they can do all kinds of things. Now, I have had and I have been married when the toilet seat was constantly up, and I did fall in the toilet seat. And at that particular point, I literally was like, of course, if this is a show, so I won't cuss, but I was like, what the beep, 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 at, say, 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So that has happened. But I was like, I believe every effort was made to rectify that. So, but in this scenario, you're saying that it is constantly being done, which means you have a disregard and not validating something that I have asked you for. So, to me, that is such a level of disrespect that at this point it is what it is. But I can't – it's hard to do hypotheticals and something that's constantly going on. Because, mind you, like I said, I'm a communicator, so I would say something. And if it's something that big of a deal for me, where the tallest, we would have never made it to marriage, ever.
Yeah. All right. Now, first off, this thing about constantly up and down, that's something that I didn't even bring in there. Maybe Eddie was thinking about it. But, okay, it's been constantly up and down. And if you've been constantly falling, then I would have to say, how many times do you have to fall into the toilet for you to know to leave the toilet seat up or down? And for me, that you know I'm going to leave it up or down. You know that if that can happen, if it's happened 3 or 4 times already, doesn't that infuse within you the ability to know that you should turn the light on at 3 o'clock in the morning? And what are you doing entering the bathroom without turning on the light anyway? But be that
I
as
don't
it may,
turn the light on.
Well, all you women are crazy. So you turn the light on at 3 o'clock in the morning now. You don't go to your man and you say, hey, I've dunked my butt 4 times because the toilet seat was up. You turn on the light. If you're going to prescribe to me as a form of an imposition that somehow you feel entitled to have this toilet seat up, then I can impose upon you the rational thinking of, I don't want to get my butt wet again. I'll just turn on the light. Simple.
Joe.
It's simple to you because that's what you want. But I was like, where's the compromise? I'm not hearing anything about you compromising in the sense of saying, you know what? I'm going to make sure I put the toilet seat down. Right?
That's not a compromise.
There's a lot of people that do not turn on a light in the middle of the night. I mean, like my bathroom is associated to my bedroom, and I just walk in there. So why would I turn it on for what? But I was like,
because you are now.
A lot of
pathetic. Okay. Here's the compromise. And because you're married, and now the compromise is you want me to compromise by making sure that I put down a piece of plastic that weighs about 6 ounces so that you can impose your particular regulation on me. Just turn on the light. That's my compromise. Turn on the light. A change has happened in your household, our household, and in order to make sure that there isn't any strife about something as ridiculous as this, turn on the light. Simple
but
change.
You
know,
but
wouldn't
that
you can't.
That giving in?
Huh?
Wasn't that one of the signs of toxic, that you just want the other person to give in to everything?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, just like the woman who wants the toilet seat down no matter what.
But
okay, but
you don't
see it like that when you marry her.
No, no,
you
I
just
didn't.
Thought marrying
because
her
if I had to have,
it didn't.
No, if it came up, then I would say, babe, there's got to be something other than that. Okay, have I been inattentive to you? Have I not taken you out? Have I not shown you that I can be trusted and love you? And you're going to take all of that, put that on the ash heap just because of a toilet seat? Am I hearing you? Is that what you're going to
do? You think yourself that you had two wives with the same condition.
Then we have to come to an agreement that you cannot impose upon me that I have to leave the toilet seat down. It may or may not be down because I might forget, and that's something you're going to have to take into consideration. And as a result,
no, but you knew that when you married both of your wives that they used the bathroom in the dark, and they want the seat down. You knew that before you married them. They didn't know you had a habit of leaving it up or down. You had two wives staying home, and it's their fault. It's got to be more than that.
No, well, I wouldn't have two wives same problem. I would have one girlfriend telling me, well, trying to talk her way into trying to make me do what she wants over something which is, to me, very, very negligent. It's a negligent
attitude. But
you just
had two wives with the same condition.
No. I don't have two wives. No, I mean, you're making up a hypothetical that I don't even belong in because two wives with that would never happen. I wouldn't have one wife with that.
Well, you won't.
If I'm giving her. Yeah, we're doing the role play. So you can't, you know, if we're going to do the role play, if you want to bring in the ridiculous B, I can say, well, you know, I married you even though you came from Mars. So, I mean.
That was key.
Okay. We can all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, key.
Okay, I'm just saying you fed into a repeat scenario, which means both of your wives have the same condition.
Now, wait a minute, you got two wives now? Yes, I'm saying she's put me in a situation with two wives, and I'm telling you that kind of hypothetical.
You had a second wife, and you went with it.
No, I didn't.
That's right. I did write that into the script.
How did you write that in there?
When did I have a second wife? I didn't hear it.
When Eddie said, "Joe, go through B, the scenario you went through with Doc, and you sped up the process, and B replied to it, so you had two wives." Same scenario.
Oh, for God's sake. I go from one situation to another, and all of a sudden I got two wives. Somebody else is going to come on the line, and they're going to say, I heard all of you talking about this. Joe, that's your third wife. Oh, for God's sake.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Hey, Joe, now you're going to have to be a Christian to get away with it because the cops are going to be sitting at your door, so you have to tell them, wait, I'm a Christian. I'm a descendant of Solomon. Wait, hold up. We're supposed to have 41.
Yeah, I need a wise man to divide up the body, to cut up the body. You can start with B.
You need a wise man.
With key.
Oh, God.
Oh, snap. He's really good.
He all right.
You by yourself on that one. You talking about getting rid of evidence. Ooh-wee.
But can I just check something? Can I just check something, man?
Sure.
Go ahead.
There is a deeper problem than just the toilet seat, the light. There is a deeper problem. Now, somebody may say, well, why you say that? Well, it's not a hard thing to leave the toilet seat up or to put it down. It's not a difficult thing to walk into the restroom, turn the light on, or if you sit out in the dark. Usually, it's understood if the woman go in the bathroom, you know, 9 times out of 10, if the seat up, she going to let it down because she don't want to fall into the toilet. The man goes into the restroom, 9 times out of 10, if the seat's down and he's just doing number one, he's going to lift it up. That's not the issue to separate individuals. It's another thing going on within, internally. It's not external formalism. It's internally. And mentally, somebody is still in a prison in their conscience.
Y'all agree on that?
He's absolutely right. Absolutely right. It has to be something, like I was saying in the role play, it has to be something that's going on. Now, she
something deeper.
May or may not
both
be aware
sides.
Of it.
On both sides.
Yeah, on both
it
sides.
It has to be discussed. Okay, on both sides. Okay? But then we have to find out what is that trauma, what is making her or him refuse to abide by the other one's wishes. And we have to find out why are both of them, or either one of them, making that wish a rigid stipulation in the first place. It's because, as the Reverend was saying, there's more to it than just the external activity.
Let me see.
But I want to add this to the equation also, if I may.
Okay.
Just like it was said, 2, 3 in the a.m., if somebody's half sleep, they're not going to think about that. It's just going to be natural, you know, for that to happen. They're going to go to the bathroom. They know exactly where the toilet is, and they're going to think everything is the way it's supposed to be, so they're going to sit down. And just like what she also said, usually in a lot of households, that second, the top, the lid is usually down also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just those little...
Go ahead.
When I think about this scenario, and Joe and Rev have said, oh, it's something else and blah, 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 which may be true, but I think at the end of the day, something that's petty to one person may not be petty to somebody else. And I think where the disconnects come from is that someone is not validating the other person's feelings in regards to what they feel is petty. And that's where a bigger issue comes from. It's like, do you value me? Do you validate what I'm saying? Do you respect that? Is there effort being made in regards to that? Because, mind you, if you get into the married phase, I believe that there's a lot of things that should have already been discussed. And revealed and so forth. So if it's something that's constantly happening, you know, then how much is that person being heard and validated? Whether you think it's small or not, it's not small to that person who's expressing that is what they need. So you can't replace one need with another, saying, oh, I took you to dinner. Don't I take care of this? Don't I take care of this? This is the area I need you to take care of right now that I'm expressing to you. Are you able to validate that? And oftentimes some things may be really petty, kind of like a guy in their car being clean. You know, me running around with muddy boots may not think me putting muddy boots in your car after you just vacuumed was a big deal. We're like, well, just vacuum it again, right? But it's like just validating.
I detailed it. Yeah.
You know, that's what I see in this scenario.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the signs as well, B, as far as a toxic relationship. And that was in the next part. So relationships that involve physical and verbal abuse are definitely classified as toxic. But there are other more subtle signs of toxic relationships. It says you give more than you're getting, which makes you feel devalued and depleted. So a lot of times you just keep on giving in, just like we said earlier. You give in and give in and give in. It's like, when are you going to give in? Why, you know, why do I have to give in every time? Why do I have to, you know, take a knee? You know, I'm tired of taking a knee. I'm not taking a knee no more. I'm going to stand up. And if you don't like it, you know, it's something we need to discuss. And
you know what?
When you feel... Go ahead.
Yeah, but you're saying that I'm always taking a knee. But in the situation between myself and B and what she just presented now, she's saying, well, my request, you have to validate it. But the other activities that you did, Joe, like showing me attention, showing me respect, gratitude, taking me out, all that doesn't matter because what I want done now matters. The other 99% of you doesn't matter now. It's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I
that's
want you
saying,
because
though.
I'm a woman. That's exactly what she said.
Mm.
I'm a woman. You've got to leave that. You have to leave that toilet seat down because I go in at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm not going to change because of marriage. Okay? You have to change. You have to validate. And I can come back and say, well, what about my validation? What about the fact that we can say, I will try to remember? Can you also say, I will try to remember to turn on the light because we are now married in the same household. Changes have to be made. And for us to get into a dispute over a toilet seat when change can be made easily in both our parts is ridiculous. But I still want to go back and emphasize this. This fact that you said, B, that Joe paid attention to me. He took me out. He's showing me that he loves me, but I want to be validated on this aspect now because it's important to me. There's such a thing as men got to man up and women have to woman up. On this kind of situation, for people to get into real-life discussions that are going to put a dent in the marriage, that's immaturity. Something's wrong in the psyche of a person who absolutely has to have the toilet seat down. Without change.
Well,
when it only takes a few seconds of effort to make a change.
I just want to ask a question briefly before you start, Rev. Please.
Okay.
My question is this. Okay, when y'all first got together, her family and her culture and the way she lives, she loves spicy foods. You can't have spicy foods because it irritates your stomach and your bowels, whatever the case may be. So you want her to stop making spicy foods so that you can enjoy the meals also, right, Joe? Did we lose him?
Who?
Did I get lost? I was asking Joe that question specifically.
Yeah.
No,
I don't want spicy foods. Yeah, I don't want spicy foods, and she can fix spicy foods for herself.
And therefore,
and
you expect her to cook.
That.
And you also expect her to cook food.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Food for you also. No, you expect her to cook food for you also. So she's cooking two meals.
Well, that makes sense. Two meals.
Cook. Right.
That makes no sense. Two meals, Eddie.
If you, if you can fix salad, mashed potatoes, green beans. Peas, steak, all at the same time to have one supper, which are four different recipes, four different meals, then you can fix spicy food for her and non-spicy food for me. Absolutely.
I agree with that because that's right.
And
wait
vice
a minute.
Versa.
See this.
And vice versa.
Now hold it. Now wait. Wait, Rev. Look, this is my point.
Okay.
She said validation.
Right.
I say gratitude and appreciation. If you know that this is a pet peeve of hers from the gate, just like being around women, you know good and well if everybody basically uses the same bathroom, that toilet seat better be down. I went through that with my mother. You know, when I used to come in the house young and hyper, I run the bathroom, do what I got to do, and don't put the toilet seat down. If she goes
she
to
gonna
the bathroom
tell you about
before
it.
I get... Oh, exactly. And that's moms. So her being that significant person in your life, you should automatically know that it's the same. Now, just like you're saying, okay, now if the reality is, okay, you're going to build another bathroom, or you're going to put two toilets in a bathroom, then it is what it is. You have yours and she has hers. But having a woman in the house, these things are something that's basically natural because of the fact that a lot of times at night, they do go to the bathroom. And, of course, they're half asleep. So when they go in the bathroom half asleep, they're not going to be thinking about turning the light on, no, because that's going to wake them up, number one. Number two, they're not going to be thinking about the toilet seat being up because of the fact that it should be down in a natural environment because she is half asleep. She's conscious and unconscious.
Yeah, how about this? How about the man goes in at 3 o'clock in the morning, and now he's married to her, and instead of having the toilet seat up or down, and maybe he just wants, he just pees all over the seat now. Okay? So maybe his habit is that when he leaves the toilet, he leaves the seat either up or, you know, or down all the time, knows what it's like, and acts accordingly when he goes in there at 3 o'clock in the morning. So what does he do? Turns the light on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
He turns the light on.
The tradition.
Yep.
He turns the light on.
A lot of times I didn't turn the light on when I was married and went to the bathroom. That whole thing.
Was
now you, I was almost going to say something that some people would have classified as perverted. You know, that's just like making love in a sense. You know exactly
did
where
you piss
things
on the
go.
Seat, Eddie? Did you piss on the seat?
That's my point.
Okay.
No, that's what I'm speaking to. Piss
so
on
in a marriage,
seat.
Things
I
have
automatic.
To change. A little thing like that can change. The thing is, the real problem here is that somebody is imposing on the other person, I want this seat down. It has to be down. I'm the woman, okay? And if you love me, it has to be down. Instead of saying, baby, can you try to leave it down or up because of the habit. Now, I can say to her, you know, yeah, I can, but if I forget, don't you think it'd be wise for you to check at 3 o'clock in the morning when you go in? Besides, you're not going to the bathroom every night at 3 o'clock in the morning. So when
how
you
do you
know? Because, okay, let's say
I go
she
on
is.
252.
Who cares? All right. Who cares? The thing is that a change has to be made, and we're talking about compromise. Now, for me to get a laxative and to have the seat.
Yeah, I knew you wasn't going to let that go. I
all
knew
right.
you wasn't going to let that go.
No. All right. That's a criminal mind. All right. And New Americans, got to be out of your freaking mind.
See, and that goes back to what your buddy was speaking to. And I apologize, Rev, because I know you wanted to speak to what you want to speak to, but that's what homeboy was saying about bragging about when he was going into all these other countries, how those women treated men. But that's a different culture. There really isn't a culture in the West. And that's why we could have a conversation about a man not putting a toilet seat down because he knows that women cannot urinate standing up. And you know, and at the same time, because again, you know, this is how it's been from the beginning in any relationship. If there's one bathroom in the house, you know, just like prime example, I'll put it to you like this: you're trying to date this woman, and she comes over your house a few times. If you use that bathroom, and you know eventually she's going to use that bathroom, you're going to have that toilet seat down, especially if she says it one time, because you ain't got no cookies or, you know, no closeness to her. And if you have got close, even a cuddle or even some cookies, she goes in that bathroom and that incident happens to her, you know, trust me, you might not get those cookies again, even if she stays in relationship with you for a while, because of the fact that she wants you to know that she's not happy. And you will think about that. That's just like knowing that she likes a pear-shaped diamond, and you go get her a marquee cut or whatever the case may be, and it's not a pear-shaped. You're buying her what you want her to have, but that doesn't mean that you're buying her what you know will make her happy because she told you.
Right. Right.
She told you. But this thing about a man is automatically going to react to the woman and because he's not going to get any cookies. No. Men, some men act like that. Maybe even the majority. Who knows? But there are men who say, sweetheart, you know, I respect what you want, but you can't impose something like that on me simply because you want it. A compromise has to be made. Now, if no compromise is made, then it's hasta la vista, especially at the beginning of a relationship. If you're in the relationship and two people are falling in love, about to get into love with each other, you try to find out why. But if there is no, you know, if there is no real compromise, if there is no understanding of the other, then, you know, then you're better off not being there.
Well, can I say something? Before,
I have to call
back.
Go
ahead, Joe.
I'll be right back.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I have to call back. No, I have to go. I have to call in. My phone's at 1%, so I'm calling in on another. I'll be calling back in.
Okay.
Joe, you sure you ain't on house arrest or something? There's something with your phone, man. Email system stuff.
Joe's line died again, so he may be calling back in. But yeah,
he said he would.
Phone died. Yeah, it died. But then again, you know, toilet seat. I know, because I know, because I'm the only one in my house right now, so I know, I just go, I even walk through my house in total darkness. So I don't even turn the light on. I hardly go from the front of my house to all the way to the back of my house to the bedroom. And I don't turn the light on because I know where everything is. Boxes this way, this thing over here, that thing right there, suitcases and everything else. I go, boom. I know where everything is. I don't have to worry about the toilet seat, as my mom would call it, toilet seat. But, you know, and sometimes we just have to, that's what I'm saying, yeah. But then when there is a man in the house, they know to put the toilet seat down. I never say anything, but that's what, they know to do that. That's because that they know the house rules or they know whose house they're in. And they just respect that the toilet seat was down when they got there. It's going to be down when they leave. They don't leave the toilet seat up.
I'd like to ask a question. I don't know if you've got any brothers or sisters, Eddie, but for those people who do have friends who have brothers and sisters, right? Let's say there's three brothers in the house, two sisters. You're telling me that in that household, the brothers always have to leave the seat down so that their sisters can be accommodated just for them.
Okay, I that's my scenario.
Yes.
Exactly. I had three brothers and two girls.
Yes. I already explained to you.
I don't know about that.
I already explained to you.
But okay.
I already explained to you. It was not a created scenario. I came in the house. I used the bathroom. I ran back out the house while I was in the backyard. 20 minutes later, my mother came outside. She called me in the house, and she said to me, "You know better. Don't do it no more." Now, she didn't give me the business, but she let me know that she was very upset with me about that. So that's evident that she went that she went through the house and asked everybody in the house, and I don't even know who was in the house. Like I said, I ran in, and I ran into the backyard after I used the bathroom. So I'm sure she asked my father, I'm sure she, if my sisters, one of my sisters is home, she asked them. So, of course, mm-hmm. you know, it had to be me. So she came out, and, you know, but that's my point. When you're raised around women, mm-hmm. you know uh-huh. these things. If there's only one bathroom in the house,
them.
I don't know, Joe, maybe when you as a child coming up, maybe there was two or three bathrooms in your house, but, you know, most of my life there was one bathroom in the house. So that's that reality.
Yeah, but that's not answering my question. That's happening in your household. What if you have friends? You've got five friends. They mm-hmm. have brothers and sisters in their five respective households. Do all of the boys in all of those households have to leave the seat down to accommodate the sisters?
That's a good homework assignment for you, and that you can share that information with us next Tuesday. Because I'm telling you,
this is where I'm from.
Thursday. It'll be Thursday.
Oh, well, let's give him until next Tuesday. He might need more time.
He don't need that much time. Ain't that much time he needs.
Well, I'll tell you now, no. How's that? That's all the research I got to do.
Oh, because you're just asking yourself?
Yeah, I don't have to ask everybody else. You're telling me that
okay.
every kid in every household.
No, that's not. No, no, no. That's. We're going too far with this now. I'm starting to act like the solution or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
Yeah, his name's.
Okay, stop. Okay, look. Okay, here. I just pulled it up. So there's a solution to toilet seat up or down debate. Maybe, sorta. It's a debate that happens in all households. Should the seat be up or down? Turns out there's a bunch of research that's tackled this extremely important issue. So I'm doing your homework for you. I've never really understood the toilet seat up or down debate. The solution, as I see it, is simple. Guys, after lifting the seat to the pee, should you put the seat back down? It's more sanitary, and it makes, as B was saying, and it makes everything a bit easier for the woman in life. It's a sign of respect, and placing the seat down is also the act of solidarity. All this aside, putting the toilet seat down also puts it in its proper resting position. Otherwise, the toilet looks like it's always open mouth, and I don't care for that at all. And this is coming from www.fatherly.com/love-money toilet seat up or down debate solution. So, still, this bathroom debate rages on. People go wild over it. I know multiple adult couples who love their spouses and have kids and jobs and second homes who continuously cite this as one of the most irritating aspects of their entire relationship. That's sad. Is it because it's a small issue, as Rhonda was saying, don't sweat the small stuff, that builds and builds until larger debate erupts? Yes, probably. But it also because most often the scenario plays out like this. If the wife wants it down, the husband says something about along the lines of, yeah, okay, sometimes I forget. Sounds like Joe. What does it matter? And a fight starts. Or the accusation of leaving the toilet seat up is leveled by a wife at a time when it is definitely shouldn't be. Still, a larger, more serious argument ensues, and that's what we're talking about. It's not really about the toilet seat, but it's about not what the toilet But it's not about the toilet seat, you know. So that's,
you know,
that's what it. Go ahead.
If I could just say this again.
No. I'm just kidding.
Here we go.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rev.
When, in order to cancel out the toxicity after you've been asked in a kind way,
mm-hmm.
not a demand, but just either a friendly reminder. If the seat is up, then lady, if you use the bathroom and you leave the seat down, well, perhaps if you think about your male factor there with you, if that be the case, and he gonna come, you know, he gonna the routine, you know, he's going to come maybe over in the morning or near daylight. Mm-hmm. You leave it up. Well, guy, if you go in there and you know that she's going to go in there after you and she don't turn on the light, well, then you might be considerate enough to leave it down, put it down when you get done with it. I was the baby of 17, and I'm still the baby of 17. And before we got a house with two bathrooms, we had one. And that goes back to what's stored in your brain will always come out. It will always come out. I remember vividly my mother saying, you know, from time to time, let the seat down when you come out of the restroom. Well, that became a practice of mine because I didn't want to disappoint my mother or my sisters with my actions.
Right.
So it became a practice. If I went into the restroom and the seat was down, well, if I was doing number one, well, then I lift the seat up. And after I finished, I let it back down because I could hear the recording of my mother saying, you know, let the seat down for me when you leave out of the restroom. But it wasn't something that jarred me to the point where I was angry or dysfunctional if I went in there and the seat was down and I didn't say, well, mama, you didn't leave the seat up for me. Now, because it wasn't that kind of issue. It was just to me, okay, well, I'll go in the bathroom. But usually,
Rev,
like,
you might not be on the phone if you would have tried that one.
You're right on. But see, I turn on the light when I go into the restroom. That's just, that's a practice of mine. That's a practice because I want the light. Well, so when people are not where you are mentally or mature that you are, then you have to look at the practice that they've been doing, and you also have to look at the information that they matured with. Is that a part of their practice of maturity? Because if it's a part of their practice of growing from an immature stage to a mature state, some things become practical. Because they practice all their life this situation from a child on up. So it's now become a part of their practical daily lives because it's stored in their brains. Mm-hmm. Remember I said the brain is your central reception station that houses sensory and perception. So it's going to whatever you put in it, the information that you put in and you practice and it's your practical way of life, it's in your brain. And you're going to do that just about every day at some point of the day. Well, practicing going into the restroom, no problem. That's not a deal to me where my woman should turn around and say, I don't love you about that. Because I'm going to say, well, baby, that's not a big deal for you to tell me you don't love me because of the toilet seat. Because I've invested in you. I've invested most of my life. If we've been together a long time, I've been investing a lot of time, you know, with you and you with me for the toilet seat to make you say you don't love me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We're going to cut it off right there. Right. We're going to cut it off right there. But I think as far as sanitary reasons, you know, as we were saying, hey, you know, close it. Just close it down because, you don't know, you may have children in the house. You have to go play in the toilet. You know, just to be safe and sorry instead of, okay, it's not up and it's not down, but it's closed. Let's just leave it at that. Is that fair enough to everybody? Good.
Well, if it's closed, good. Like, oh, you automatically assume everybody agrees with you. Okay. If it's closed, that means the whole toilet seat is down. That creates the debate again. But, yeah, I can go on. Next week.
I don't think so. I mean, because we got a lot more. I got a lot of stuff and stuff. So as far as talking, so we'll probably be continuing this another couple of weeks. But no, I mean for sanitation, because I think I even heard it even on the television that, you know, putting the toilet seat down when you flush, because as Dee was saying, stuff starts coming out and spurting out, and, you know, you don't, I'm sure you have
yes.
your toothbrush out and every these other things out. So it's just, you know, godliness is next to cleanliness, or cleanliness is next to godliness, I should say. And, I mean, it's just part of being clean, because, like you say, you don't know, you know, when the toilet might break and it starts spewing out stuff. And then you don't want that stuff on the stuff that's in the bathroom. So when you close it and you flush, you don't have to worry about us now. And then you can put it up when it's time for you to put it up and put it back down, and she could just lift the one seat up and use the restroom. But I mean,
but
if I'm
terrible.
Being in the house of go ahead. But I'm just saying, I mean, because I have to lift it up. I have to lift it up to go to the bathroom, you know, if the toilet, the top is down. And you would have to, male would have to lift it up to go to the bathroom if the top is down. So that way, you know, nobody's, you know, everybody has to lift it up regardless.
Everybody has to do it, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So just close it and be done. That's all I can say about that. So, announcement.
That was a good resolution.
You know, I mean, that way, you know, nobody's at fault. You know, you can go in there and just sit down on the toilet and just don't have to be worried about falling in or anything, because a lot of times you just go in there and just sit down and maybe ponder, you know. But there's going to be a memorial service for Sharon Salisbury.
Hope you ponder about falling in.
or not, you know, and Yakima in December, planning for December. So I'd like to have a live memorial for that around the December 21st when she passed away. It'll be a year, so hopefully they'll take care of that. November 3rd, it's Thursday. Ms. Inez says, let's talk about it. We're going to continue toxic relationships. And November the 6th is First Sunday, Communion Sunday with Pastor Betty Bennett, hush lady, at a Harvest Rock, and what else? Everything's going to be at from 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and November 8th, don't forget to vote, and we'll have Let's Talk About It, so please don't forget to vote, because these votes are very, 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 very necessary and needed. November 9th is Bible Study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall. And November 12th and 13th, I had been promoting Women on Fire Conference. Hush, lady. Raw Power Ministry, and that's been postponed until March, and that's in Pine Bluff. And so please support Reverend Ronnie Marshall as he comes out with a new songs around the Christmas time. So please support him. And to keep Let's Do a Radio on the air, Cash App. To $ANASCVALCLUR, the Venmo at the @ Miss Inez, Miss MZ hyphen INEZ or Zell. And I want to do a great big thank you, of course, to our panel for the evening and talking about toxic relationships. And we're going to continue this Thursday. So question of the evening.
Yeah,
how long would you
show.
Stay in a toxic relationship? And would you seek help or would you leave? So until next time, you know, that's it. So, no, this was, it was 3 hours. It was 3 hours, so
yeah,
thank
and
you,
everybody,
thank you,
keep
you.
Your bloody bathroom seat up, okay? Because I said so. Because I'm the man, all right? How's that, women? Okay.
No, it's not going to happen. Mm-mm. Have a good evening until we meet again. Talk to you all on Thursday. So join us Thursday and have your questions and everything else on Thursday. 845-241-9985 on Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. Thank you to each and every one of you, as I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez. And please join us again on Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a good evening, each and every one of you. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Peace out.
Metal.
Good night.